Blog Talk Radio.
That song was our plan A. Sadly, we don't have a plan B. However, we do have a plan C song. So let's play that, shall we?
Let's do this!
I couldn't freaking take it anymore.
Matt,
it was funny
stupid.
At first. It was funny at first. You should get the WWE Network because they have every single pay-per-view on there ever, except that they don't. It's really okay. No, because here's the thing.
Good evening.
I promote the network. Good evening. This is those guys. I'm your host, Matt Marrero, and you're Satish Ram.
Still not grammatically correct, is it? I mean, it is, but it's so annoying.
I know, right? English is a funny
is
language.
Those, damn it.
This
like
is
it
those,
hurts
yeah.
me on the inside as an ex-sports writer.
Right.
Like, it's like, stop doing that.
Yeah. But anyway, so okay, no, I promote the network, and they promoted the network tonight, and I only just think it's funny, and I've never really said this on air, it's funny how they say every pay-per-view ever because they have to, but when you actually look into it, there's a ton of stuff missing, and usually it's nothing major. Like, it's nothing crazy storyline. Usually it's just like, oh, you missed the UK one or something. But it's funny how they do have certain UK ones, so you kind of sit back and go, wait, why is that missing then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really funny where it's just every single pay-per-view ever, except the ones that aren't there. Shut your mouth!
Yeah, I think...
That's a video game. Like, shut up.
It's funny because it's basically the classic case of over-advertising.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is not going to be one of those nights where we overly criticize WWE because they actually did put on, for first time it feels like a little while, a very
yeah.
good show.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of refreshing to see them do good things. And one of the things
yeah.
that I mentioned, we talked about pre-Raw, but it actually didn't pop up into my head until the main event slash, like, the ending segment.
Right.
We didn't have John tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I could tell easily, and I hate to say this, but I love Zack Ryder. But when Zack Ryder's there, and he wins something, clearly
that has nothing to do with John, I don't think.
I think John Cena has,
sometimes does end up better when we have, like, no John, though. Because they're
John
forced to actually do things.
I would actually argue, I mean, again, okay, if you had seen SmackDown, you'd have thought, you know what, maybe John isn't the problem. Because I think that sometimes it could just be a lack of overall star
SmackDown
power.
SmackDown is also kind of problematic on its own.
Fair enough.
Where there's
but
no reason for me to watch SmackDown weekly. And then if you take away John, I mean, it's not like John would be the difference between me watching or not, but it's like, it probably would have been a clusterfuck anyway.
I mean, I would argue that it was less of a clusterfuck on SmackDown because, again, there were less people on, I feel. So for some, like, I would rather have an overcrowded, smaller match time SmackDown card than actively stretching things out for some, and then for others, you know, doing the whole diva situation of just making the matches really, you know, small in length.
Well,
and
that's
then
just
no,
their fault in terms of being stupid, and that bothers
I know,
me. Cause...
I know, of course. Which is the only thing I think I can argue about tonight. See, that's the thing. There were a few things tonight that I am going to get critical on, but nothing major. I mean, you know, things that could have made an A-plus Raw, you know, made it an A Raw or even a B-plus Raw, depending on how you critique it. But I don't think that if someone says to you this was a really bad Raw, that's an issue. Like, they haven't been seeing Raw lately, clearly, or they haven't been,
right.
you know.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
in terms of if this was your first Raw jumping back into wrestling in a while, it
yeah.
would actually have been a respectable one to watch because it had all the elements of what we really need to enjoy in wrestling.
Yeah.
And there were some things that were off, but, I mean, I'll argue that it was an A-Raw, and I think that, you know, we'll hear
yeah.
what you have to say, Matt, as we go
well,
throughout
no,
the show,
I'm,
because I'm
yeah.
not firm on this where it's like, no, this was an A, and immediately I'm going to mute you because you don't think it was an A.
Well, but I can mute you as well. I do think that
I should never have given you access to the soundboard.
but seriously though,
changing the password right now.
There's no such thing.
Well, actually, in theory, you could change the password, yeah. But then I can't make shows. So
that's
we're
okay.
Now
I'll stop making
now
shows. I'll become Booker Man.
Booker T Man.
Booker T Man.
Booker T Man. We're gonna see Booker T Man along with BC at Northern
the
Star
Monster
Wrestling.
BC.
Yeah, at
which
Northern
really
New York.
Not the acronym I would go with.
Yeah,
honestly.
But anyway, getting back to everything on topic. I would like to say that okay. So obviously this Raw was great. The thing that I do have to critique him about that doesn't even have to do with this Raw exactly. We didn't get to talk too much about the pay per view last night, and we're gonna talk about it.
What pay per view last night? We had
exactly.
Raw last night.
Well, no,
we had Raw last night.
According to a friend of mine, actually, it was very funny. His take on it was actually like a good episode of SmackDown, and I was like, damn.
That might have been a good episode of SmackDown / a bad episode of Raw, glorified. And I'm not sure why they tried to call it Battleground, because that was Raw. That was definitely Raw.
I mean, but anyway, let's not talk about it. We'll talk about it as the night goes on, because things will slip in. But what I want to say is this much. It wasn't the best thing in the world. And the problem isn't that, it's not that CM Punk wasn't there. The problem was that because, in my opinion, it had the same problems that Payback did. Which, even though people said they liked Payback, still, I feel as if the problem with both shows is they had planned this so much in advance that it seemed as if everyone knew too much, where, the people working there, where it just didn't feel fresh. And the only thing that felt fresh to me last night, which is a huge issue for you because you didn't like it, but what I found fresh was that The Miz actually won, something that I did not even see happening at all.
I thought
right?
that was more offensive than the mention of the Malaysian Airlines thing to me. That hurt me more as a person,
seeing The Miz win
the title. I say that being a horribly insensitive person, like I'm not going to deny
Fair
the
enough.
Fact that not much offends me. So, like that kind of stuff is, and we'll get to that when we talk about Rusev and Lana later on. But
right.
Like The Miz winning the thing, there are a few ways that they can go with this that
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be upset about that decision. And it looked like they were going on that track tonight. So
exactly,
I will.
That's why I was hoping
good.
For. That's what I was hoping for, really. But anyway, the point is that you can tell that certain things, like where they just knew what, since they knew where they were going, and which sucks because if you're going to sit here and really promote SummerSlam and WrestleMania and make those, I mean, yes, those are the A-level shows, but you can't think that a B-level show is an excuse to make it a D-level show.
Yeah, see, rumor talk was that they were using Battleground to prime up people for SummerSlam.
Right.
Logically, that's kind of cool. In practice, you're bleeding money right now, and these are the last two pay-per-views before people who had your original subscriber thing, I think, have to renew. Some of them. Some of them getting out of Champions, I think, or something like that, depending on when you, bought
yes,
on.
Yes, of course, yes. Depending on when you jumped on, you could get,
but like, you
could
know,
actually,
we jumped
you know,
on
watch past.
Pretty
yes.
quick, and I think that gives us up to about the week of SummerSlam and SummerSlam itself. So,
right.
And I think for the people who signed on day one, by the way, I don't think they get SummerSlam. I think they need to renew to get SummerSlam, which is funny.
Exactly.
Because you could be sitting there thinking, the last pay-per-view you have to work with before SummerSlam, which promises to look, and it looks like to be a blockbuster show, is what I'm calling Raw last night. And that was in no way a good pay-per-view. So you've really got to turn it up for these last 4 weeks. And I assume that was the plan all along, like let's kill him with SummerSlam and that's what will get them to stay. But you half-assed it along the way. And I know you'll probably get away with it because SummerSlam does promise to be a good show and should be a good show. But, it's
and
disappointing.
If they keep on producing stuff like they did tonight, then yeah, of course it'll be great. But I still have to say that, and I've said this before and it should get put on a T-shirt, brand split. How do you do it, WWE? Well, you have enough people. I mean, you look at the way they build their house shows. Having been to one house show myself, going to another one around the Christmas season,
it's
which
funny.
Will be awesome.
I love that you're talking about it as if you're now a veteran of house shows.
Right.
You've
going
to
one
house
show.
Look, having been to house shows, my educated opinion here.
Yes.
You've been to one house show, Matt. Yes. Having
been
to a house show.
I know. That's what I said. But anyway,
you
no,
qualified yourself right after because
yeah,
you realized,
make sure.
Like, people can call me on this. How many house shows have you been to, Mr. Marrero?
One. Uno.
One.
But what matters is that it had enough star power to be a good show if they really added a bit more story and a bit more, you know, put it even on the network. It was a really nice, you know, amount of star power, but they had a lot of people who weren't there that were fan favorites that I thought, oh, yeah, well, they're obviously somewhere else because they're resting them up for the other house shows because, yeah, they'll have them in two teams, A and B, you know. And so what matters is the fact that if you can do that for house shows and you'll see, oh, hey, it looks like they have, like, their own little roster here. It's that freaking simple. You know, you have
mm-hmm.
your own little roster here. That's all that matters. And when it comes to stuff like that, because you can even see, yeah, John Cena's out filming a movie, so that's why he's not, you know, here for a few weeks. But I have to say, But in certain matches, he also seems very protected, if you've noticed recently, where it's a problem because he's the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I mean, yeah, Fatal 4-Ways are cool. They really are. You know, any match that isn't just a standard one-on-one is cool, but you also realize that John got a lot of time to rest there. Also, even though it was a Money in the Bank ladder match, he didn't even get involved in a lot of spots. He rested a lot.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's funny, again, and you mentioned the brand split, not so much for your novelty, but that in reference to house shows, I believe they used to have Raw and SmackDown-based house shows. So even if you went to see your house shows, you would still, like, you wouldn't see Triple H on a SmackDown house show for the most part because he was mainly a Raw guy. You know,
yeah, exactly.
And this conserved their health. It made it a safe environment. And, boy, does WWE not like safe environments, apparently. Which
apparently, right.
Maybe leads up to why they're overworking the hell out of their athletes these days. And the reason I'm referring to not having a safe environment, by the way, and I don't know if we'll get to it tonight because there's a lot to talk about from Raw, but
right.
Just supposedly their budget cuts are extending to their like laborers in terms of the people who set up the equipment, they set up the actual stage and the environment for them, and they're cutting their travel costs, basically saying that we're not going to pay for you to travel with us anymore, the crew. I don't want to comment on that now because it seems so blatantly obvious what I'm going to say.
I'll comment quick and I'll just say I'm going to either sell the ticket for that December show or I will keep it to see, you know, see where we're headed with this. Because of the fact that I do want to go, but I also don't want to die from a light falling on me. Because of overworked workers who end up leaving a show. Because remember, everyone, Raw ended. That doesn't mean the sets just magically, you know, taken down. Sets have to be taken down. And then if you're taking away travel expenses, that means that they have to drive themselves. And then guess what? Wait a minute. You can't just set up a set the next day at like 3 o'clock. No, you're going to start in the morning early. So when do they get that chance to sleep and get rest and not actually?
Yeah, just putting that together quickly. I mean, and this is referencing also Alex Greenfield, who comments on CSS and a former writer in WWE.
Yes.
Let's say they'll finish breaking down these Raw sets at about 1 to 2 a.m. And this is what
right.
he used to work. So this is what, you know, so he's it's not
and,
that far
was,
off.
And he was mid-2000s, around the time, actually. He actually wrote some of the stuff with
Mickie James
and
Stratus,
yes,
which is
exactly.
yeah, the single
so,
female
right.
angle, which was famous. So,
yes.
yeah, he talks about them finishing these Raw sets, taking them down around, like, 1 to 2 a.m., and then after that, they'd have to be taken to the next city where they're doing SmackDown and start setting it up there. And it's one thing when you can think about, oh, it's in the same state, but imagine sometimes they go state to state between those.
Right.
You know, those nights. So then you've
yeah.
got them going two different states between 2 days. And how they had to cover their own travel expenses? I mean, ugh.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
that's just horrible.
Exactly.
What wasn't horrible, though, was Raw, to be quite honest with you.
Of course. No, and although I will say there was a few little glitches here and there and things that I feel as if, and I really have to say, I truly believe that little things that we've been seeing from the past few weeks, just the little stuff like camera shots being a little off or someone's music not, you know, being a bit right or matching up perfectly.
Conspiracy?
Yeah, I know. We've made the joke conspiracy before, but I'm not going to lie. It does seem to be leaning towards people getting pissed off and the morale being low. I mean, there, in my opinion,
morale is definitely low
yeah.
around the company.
I mean, maybe it's just me, but I feel as if there was, again, the gap was a bit too big between Heyman and his guy, if only because I know we on the internet knew it was Brock Lesnar, but who is Heyman going to bring out, you know? My guy, you know, 3 ain't enough, man, 95, it's Biggie Langston! This makes perfect sense in the context of this story, you know? It's
I mean,
as if
we all
was an
anticipated
actual...
it, and I think for once, there are certain things where we can't anticipate it, and we can anticipate, rather, and it's okay.
Right.
Because the fact that we knew it was Brock Lesnar didn't
hurt anything. In fact,
it didn't. But what I'm saying is,
you know?
I'm sorry, but let me clarify. What I was trying to say, though, is there was a gap between him and standing there and the music hitting. So it made me think, are they like what's going on?
Are they trying
to
drum roll this? Because nobody's going to be surprised.
I guess so, because you also look at some stuff. We've seen this before. We got the chance to talk about this, I believe, last week, when, you know, Bray Wyatt is done speaking his magical words, and then they cut back to the commentary.
Yeah, it was black.
And the lights
were
off.
Hilarious. And they had to go on as if the lights were still on, which was hilarious, because I'm sure Michael Cole was thinking, turn the lights back on, you assholes.
That's what I'm saying. So it's just, I feel as if, you know, like little things here and there. But hey, you know who was good tonight? You know who probably isn't in on, who is not in on this conspiracy? Triple H.
No.
Triple H is doing very well.
He started off the show with a bang, which was hilarious because, look, if we get mad at him, Matt, what did he say he was going to do? What was he going to do?
They're going to stop watching. I feel like he listens to our podcast personally. I feel like he just sits around, you know, because of the travel time and everything, just listening to podcasts, either laughing or going, huh, that's a good point, and writing things down.
No, I could just imagine you just sitting there, me and my friend Mike are going to quit wrestling, or we're going to tweet about it. Or it was funny because, like, yeah, he's making fun of us. I accept that. But it's also kind of funny when he does it because, A, I know he's a progressive thinker, so it's not done in the vein of Cena, like, hey, I'm going to do a heel turn. I can't even do the sentence, you know? Like, with Triple H, you know he's of the progressive mindset. He's trying to make the product better. And I feel like in a weird way he relates to us, so he does it more as if, like, it's a friend taking a jab at you than, like, somebody looking down on you.
That's the thing. Well, no, even if he was, the thing is, here's the thing. You look down on me all you want. I just want it to be done correctly, you know? So the
I'm
fact that Triple H, so I'm happy that it really feels as if he's doing actual research instead of, like, Vince McMahon go, although I will admit, the fact that he said sending a vine kind of made me chuckle. But other than that, though, because I feel
he
like he's using words.
I'm going to send an Instagram or something, and I was just laughing because I know it's like post a picture to Instagram, but it just made me think of, like, how stupid our phrasing has become these days.
Right, yeah, no. But anyway, but the thing is, yes, like, that's, like, that was kind of, but other than that, though, I feel as if he's actually, like, he's studying what he's trying to at least joke about, where I feel as if Vincent Kennedy McMahon just looks down on certain things and just doesn't really understand what he's making fun of. He just goes,
oh, yeah, Trips is on the up and up. He definitely is, and kudos to him for that much.
Yes. So I feel as if he's really – that's why I think NXT is good because, yes, he isn't sitting there every single day working on it, but the people that he's gotten really make NXT good, and I really think that, you know, when he is running the show, we're going to have guys like the Vaudevillains on the show. And guess what? Look, just laugh at them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just get involved.
Oh, by the way, if you
fun.
Don't know who Matt's talking about, please watch NXT and check up. Very fun.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, they really are.
Fun tag team.
You know, and they were even having some NXT promos for certain, you know, for certain characters. I have to call them characters because of the way they write, you know, NXT writes its superstars and it's you know,
right.
They really are characters, and that's what I like about them. They're really fun. They're really interesting.
And given
you want to get
to
know
to be
them.
Characters, by the way, which is
yes.
probably one of the best parts about NXT. Please
exactly.
watch NXT. NXT is
Please
my
do.
Equivalent of Matt in the WWE Network. If you have the network, watch mm-hmm. NXT. It's so worth it. It's not even – it'll restore some of your faith in WWE.
And because the thing is, it sounds like we're just running a tangent, but no, because Triple H is, you know, he hired the people who are working there, and hopefully they will be able to provide Raws like this on a weekly basis one day. You know, when Triple H is hopefully running the company. You know,
right.
That's the thing. I feel as if that's where we're going, because again, Triple H is just so good at what he does. You know, you even said it, he's the best heel of the modern era.
Yeah,
you
he's
argue.
Certainly the best heel of the modern era, and part of it is that he's changed his character from being the best wrestler to now this type of heel that's more snarky. You know, and he had the snark in him before because
right.
Evolution Triple H had that. But now it's just the way he does it. I can't explain it, but his character has adapted, and he's still good at being the bad guy. He's just one of those people that, you know, in movies sometimes, and you're more of a movie buff than I, but there are some people who just are best suited playing the villain. You know that you
Right.
And Triple H is one of those guys where the cheers he gets is because we respect him so much for his heel work, because he's so good at being a heel. And he's not perfect. Nobody is.
No.
Certainly, you know, he's really, really talented, and he understands the nuances of the business and what he needs to do.
No, he does. And that's the thing where I just – and it's funny because just about maybe a year, year and a half ago, we would have been saying Triple H this, Triple H that. Oh, look at what he's done. And those things still happened, you know. But currently,
yeah,
he understands that –
Yeah, like in terms of his wrestling history and backstage
yeah.
stuff,
oh,
he's still
terrible.
Got some pretty shitty history. You know,
he does.
But
honestly, it's –
Egomaniac, right?
Yeah, I've heard egomaniac, and I also want to say that it's probably just the fact that when you're in that environment, I mean, I'm not saying, okay, if I were ever to get into that environment, I would try not to be that way. I would try to be more of the Undertaker, the way people say he's really nice backstage and people respect him, and that's who I would want to be, you know, that good guy who tries to help people with their moves and whatever, or just train with them. However, I understand why Triple H just can happen, because you need to be the best that you can be when you're there. And sadly, for, you know, in the old Vince kind of run, male-dominated, testosterone-filled kind of atmosphere, I can see them trying to be more, quote-unquote, macho to try and get by.
Yeah, and also
where,
the fact that
right.
you think about, we can describe him as an egomaniac, very self-interested. At the same
right.
time, you put a guy like that at the head of a business, and sometimes he makes the shrewd decisions that you need to succeed. You know,
exactly.
And I mean, he's not going to be perfect. I know he's not. But there are
no.
certain decisions that he's going to make in the interest of wanting to make the company perfect. In the same way he wanted to make his character and his character's legacy perfect, he's
exactly.
going to want to make WWE that perfect. And part of that is his own character, you know, which is why I think he invests so much right now in being this good heel. So he let off the show with a good promo and then interrupted by, was it Randy first.
Randy, Kane, then, well, Randy, Roman, then Kane, and then we have a handicap match, and it's really funny because the crowd was not excited, or at the very least, they weren't excited for Kane, which is really funny, like, as if the crowd is just going, like, we don't really like that guy anymore, we don't really know what he is.
It's kind of hard to really, describe him.
Well, it's very easy to describe him. You know, it's just, Kane was – no, I don't want to – and that's what you missed on Glee. No, but I don't want to – but no, but seriously, though, Kane was, you know, a demon. And then he became, like, a corporate guy. And he was with the Authority. And then it was just, no, wait, he's back to a demon again, except that he's still with the Authority. And then here we are in limbo.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
But I like the whole handicap thing. I know that Maddie originally – when the match happened, told me that she didn't like it at first because of the fact that she thought, oh, that the Authority's ignoring the fact that there's obvious Randy Kane dispute. And my thing was just, well, you know what? Roman just insulted both of them, and it was sort of like my enemy is my friend, where you look ahead and it's like, hey, two guys that can work together because they both want to beat up Roman Reigns right now. But
I'll give it to her, though, because for a split second I went, yeah, it's a triple threat. And
I don't blame you for that. I like that they used the handicap to basically finally break up the whole Randy Kane thing, because that
exactly.
needed to be put to bed, because it wasn't going to happen. You know, nobody's going to take
yeah.
it seriously as like, oh, wow,
yeah, no.
Randy and Kane are obviously in it to help each other again. No, they're
no.
not.
No, Randy Orton versus Kane, whichever one wins gets that number one contender spot, which, by the way, I texted you multiple times. I told you they were going to bring that back. I knew
yeah,
they didn't drop it.
And then they decided not to give it to him. I think that was
that
for
was,
you.
No, yeah, it was. Because that was my issue, actually. I wrote that down. That's my big issue, where you were actually, you know, you were legally, and it's funny to use the words legally, but hey, this is the Raw that they arrested Stephanie McMahon. Legally, they have to give him that. They can't just say no. Like, I mean, maybe you would know more because, I didn't take as big of a break as you did. Have they done that before? You know, in
recent
memory? They've
tried to put these things to rest, but, like, Randy was right. He came out saying, you owe me a one-on-one rematch. And
exactly.
They do. They do owe him a one-on-one rematch. And
yeah.
I don't know when they're going to use that crappy thing,
right.
but it's funny because on a non-SummerSlam pay-per-view,
yes.
like, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Yeah, it's Randy Cena, like, 9.
Well, here's
but,
the thing. It would be the worst thing. I would rather a triple threat. I would rather Reigns somehow get his way in there somehow and make it a triple threat, if only because I know they don't care about their own continuity this much, but they literally said, and I have to be honest with you, it really strikes me because Cena said, like, this will be the last time Randy Orton and I will be fighting. And it was when Cena and Orton were on a Raw, and it was, but again, he was serious about, like, this is the final time.
Dude, fuck that. They said once in a lifetime for Cena and The Rock and went ahead and did it very next year at WrestleMania.
But it's Cena and The Rock, though. Cena and The Rock, though, brings in the cash.
Once in a lifetime. Once in a lifetime means literally this will never happen again. Once in a lifetime.
Your lifetime will span
80 years, and you will never see this again.
Listen, all right?
Next year.
The match was so good, people's hearts stopped. They came back. It was some crazy stuff, you know? Once in a lifetime match was shit. Yeah. But seriously, though, I know, I understand. But I feel as if it's just... Again, we have the network now. Let's not really... And also the fact... Like, we have the network to the point where if you really wanted to go nuts with the pay-per-views, you saw Cena Rock twice, right? You saw Randy Orton, John Cena, God knows how many times, off of pay-per-views, on pay-per-view. We just don't need a one-on-one again.
You know, for me, the reason, though, I can't approve of adding in Reigns, right?
Right.
There's only so much you can protect a guy you're trying to push at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean? When a guy like Reigns goes into that Fatal 4-Way, he is super hot at the moment.
Right.
Right? But at the same time, we know that he's still pretty green and can't handle the championship yet, and it's just too early.
So I would argue you can use people to try and bury Reigns in that match, you know, outside interference.
There's only a certain amount of times that you can put him in the championship match.
Right.
Have him not win, and people still care. I don't mean you and I, but most of the fan base is very fickle.
I would do it again if we had to, if only because to save us from a one-on-one. Or even, not yet, but if for some reason we have to spend, you know, a couple months down the road, maybe even before WrestleMania, and it's Brock, Randy, and Reigns, I would somehow manage to have Reigns pin Orton. Not now, mind you, but a couple months down the line, you know, just once Reigns gets a bit better, and if it's a way to take it off of, you know, off of Lesnar without actually letting him lose, because I could, something about Lesnar being just the way he is, I could never really see him losing, which is a good in a champion. I want him to make more dates, but I can never really see him actually getting the pin. So if he loses to Cena, we will actually riot. It's kind of funny. I think I'll be with you, actually. After such a great Heyman promo, I will be with you with the whole maybe let's not renew the network thing.
Yeah, so and it's funny because you talk about Reigns getting better, so we can progress into the actual handicap match, right?
Right.
I want to say this about Reigns. He has been asked to do very limited things in the ring.
Yes.
But in my opinion, he has become very good at those limited things in the ring.
That's what I'll say. And it's funny because...
I'm glad you agree with me because I was noticing that in the match tonight. I'm like, you know what? His clothesline in the corner, his Superman punch, his kick outside the ring, his spear, you know, his Samoan drop.
Yes.
For the most part, he has been asked to do very little, very, very protected, but he has now mastered all the things he's been asked to do. So now we get to a point where I think you have to take risks with Roman Reigns. Not in a booking, but in a match where you put him with somebody who he can take risks with.
That's the thing. They've really forgotten, right? Because people are like, well, John Cena, like people always say, John Cena has five moves of doom. And he doesn't have them now, but he had them. That's the thing.
I would argue
that he does have a bit more in his repertoire when he is fighting the right opponent. I mean, now he's recently, though, yes, he might be down back to the five moves because, you know, protection, right? But a bit before that, you know, on his road to the, you know, the... to winning or not to losing.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, he was mixing it up a little bit. I got you.
And my point is that the reason why I'm saying this is because, again, when someone's trying to get, even Daniel Bryan, right, before he was on his road to WrestleMania, he was doing some crazy stuff. Then once they started really kind of getting there, they're like, all right, you know, here's what you have. Like, I assume that they literally take them in the back and just say, here are the moves that you should be doing. Here are the moves that you shouldn't be doing. Here are the specific moves that we want you to do at these key points. You know, and work around that, right?
Yeah, because obviously there's a five moons of dooms element to a lot of these top wrestlers. And sometimes it sucks, you know, but even Daniel, who we love, got into it a bit, as you're mentioning. It's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the kip-off into, like, the headbutt, the kind of, like, Yeah, Daniel Bryan, like, comeback kind of thing from the WWE
game. Yeah, and clearly it's not that, you know, wow, how did Daniel Bryan just get so bad? No. Like, you idiots. They're
yeah,
trying
it's
to protect
in terms
them.
Of the booking of the spots. And
to protect
so
them and to make the crowd
get moves. Reigns has got
right.
his five moves down. We know this now. Now
right.
he's got to expand on that to be able to create. And it's in a way, it's hard to say because I want to say, oh, it's not that much. I know it's difficult. You know, I know it's a lot harder than what I'm saying. But he can get to a point where he can put on consistent, decent 12 to 15-minute matches at pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's going to be in that high, like, upper mid-card to the main-card scene. And they push him up there very quickly. I didn't think they would do it so quick. But he'll be there very soon. You know, and
oh, yeah.
if he can put on at least decent matches with a little bit of variety and that kind of stuff, he's got his five moves of doom down, and I'm glad.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Also, we have ourselves a caller. I'm going to patch him or her through. Hello, caller.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hello. It is Daniel. So, Daniel, right now we're talking about the Randy Orton handicap match. It was Randy Orton in the handicap match. Kane and both Roman Reigns just took down Randy Orton. That's at least from what I remember. So, Daniel, what did you think about this match?
It was fine. I wanted to talk about something else, but I didn't. I thought you guys would have started already to the match I wanted to talk about.
Daniel.
Yeah.
Are you not listening to our podcast, Daniel?
Hey, I just called. Look,
Daniel.
All right, I'll listen.
Rest in peace.
I want his lights to flicker right now. Just his lights to start to flicker. Just
Daniel.
I thought you muted him. I thought that would have been hilarious. I didn't.
I love you guys, enjoying this
too much.
I am really.
Daniel.
Oh, God, what happened to him? Oh, God. Did his phone cut out? Oh, no, he wasn't muted.
Oh,
Daniel, are you okay?
Come on, you suck, man. Everything's dark. Everything's dark. Where is it? Where am I? Okay, but yeah. That match is pretty cool.
just, everything's dark. I'm going to die. But anywho, yeah, so the matches were cool tonight.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to make an exception because, Daniel, you're our 1,000,000th caller. Daniel, what match do you want to talk about right now?
You guys are going to think I'm pretty stupid, but I want to talk about Zack Ryder finally getting a win on TV.
That actually means something, actually. There's a ceremony going on right now.
Oh, my God.
Satish, how did you feel about Zack Ryder actually winning something?
I couldn't tell if you said they want the Long Island Ice Z or they want the Long Island Ice D, because... they don't want either. I was very
okay.
interested in that because I could tell they were going to give him the win here.
Yeah.
But I didn't freak out until it actually happened. And then I sat there for a minute and thought, wow, I wonder if Alberto Del Rio feels this way.
Yeah, no.
Like when he's told he's going to get a win on SmackDown.
I wonder if he's sitting there thinking, well, I mean, I guess if Zach got the win, I guess I'm good.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it really makes me wonder, and I mention him on purpose because I like Zach. I do. I've always liked him. But it makes me wonder, like, what happened with the roster that we had to give Zack Ryder the win against
Fandango?
Not because Cena's not there. It doesn't, like, I don't think they get brain dead where it's like, Cena's not there. Let's give Zack Ryder a win, man. Let's switch
it
up. No one's going to watch.
Cena buried Zack Ryder so badly that they can't even be on the same show together.
Yes, true.
One has to push the other one off. It's like magnetism. One has to push the other one off to get one on.
Wow.
No, but seriously, though. It's upsetting. It's funny because I don't know why, but I feel as if when JBL was kind of going off on Zack Ryder, it felt weird for two reasons. One, it felt as if it was Vince in his ear. It kind of felt like that because he was saying specific things like, oh, yeah, he's only popular on the Internet. And it's just like, so you mean with the fans? Like, I know he's a heel, but...
He did purposefully mention the Internet Championship thing, which is something I believe they've abandoned because there was supposed to be, like, a Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder Internet Championship match, and I would have loved that.
Yeah, as WrestleMania. WrestleMania.
I guess they've abandoned that. I hope they go back to it at some point, by the way. That was one thing
just
I
as
did
a joke,
really like.
Because if they need people as jokes, and I don't want to say as jokes, but as funny characters that people can laugh with or at, whichever, bring back the Internet Championship, man. Like, you know, Sandow, Heath Slater, you know, Zack Ryder. I mean, you know, before you know, Woods cut a really serious promo tonight, he could have been involved in that.
You know, that's the thing. It gives the jobbers an extra element of interest besides
being jobbers.
And they'll still job out to the bigger people.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got something else going on there. An internet championship.
Yeah.
And we love them on the internet, so it makes perfect fucking sense.
Of course,
That sounds like an awesome idea. Why won't WWE do that?
That's exactly why they won't do it, dude.
They don't listen to fans.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, well, for Ryder, it was mostly a case of they didn't want to push him in a way. So the fact that he somehow got so over, it was like they've learned from it. I mean, they've learned because they could have actually buried Daniel Bryan. So they learned.
Because they did bad one show and they blamed it on Zack Ryder, and then.
Well, I mean,
John,
they blame everything
they stick,
on Zack Ryder.
And then they stick John Cena on him.
Basically, yeah. But I would argue, I don't know, I feel as if, you know, of course, like I said, a bit of Vince there. And it also just felt strange because they called him a nerd. And I mean, I here's the thing, ready? I'm a nerd, and, like, I look at my physique, and I look at Zack Ryder's physique, and I think, shut up, JBL. I mean, honestly, like, and again, I'm not saying you can't be a nerd who's, like, big and buff and stuff. But they talked about him like a nerd, like, he can never get women. Listen, he can never get women because he's a douche nozzle. There's nothing wrong with, but the fact that he can still probably get some women with his approach and the way he talks and the way he, you know, the way he acts and everything. So
but
it's very
right,
awkward.
Are they the right quality of women?
I don't know. It felt very awkward, didn't it, Satish? Like,
why are we discussing that? In terms of what you're saying, what I didn't like about that is that if you remember when, I don't know if you're around for this, Matt, but when Daniel Bryan was first being, like, pushed and, like, put into the main scene.
Yes, Michael Cole heel, right?
It was the same. He's a nerd. He's a geek. And it's like, you guys have these, like, staple insults. And I mean you guys as in WWE commentary.
Right.
Where
it's
like, a guy who isn't super buff and, like, into macho stuff, he's a nerd geek. Like, what is this, high school? Like, I hate it. Next, we're going to have the main women, you know, like, the angles for the women. We're going to just call each other the bitches. Oh, wait, we're actually doing that with Steph and the belt. And,
hey,
and it's funny because they savaged that, and I liked it.
Here's the thing. Bitches, though, that's an actual thing that people can actually call each other no matter what.
I know, but it's like, listen, with Stephanie and...
Right.
No, with Stephanie and the Bellas right now, right?
Right.
There is so much more that can be said than just bitch. And
that's
they want to stick on this, and like it feels like it's just a buzzword thing. And in a similar vein, it's funny that the slur for men is apparently like, you know, nerd or geek. And it's like, you don't want to be a nerd or a geek because that's what the heel announcer is calling him. And it's like...
Right.
They have to get up with the times because nerd and geek is not the insult it used to be. That's the one thing. Two, they don't know what it means. They obviously don't know what it means. Because
if you're calling Zack Ryder.
Yeah, if you're calling Zack Ryder and Daniel Bryan nerds and geeks, like,
we're looking at examples of nerds and geeks.
I mean, the thing is, there is no actual example because you can be a nerd or a geek in anything. But when you use the word geek, I mean, it's weird because I can see them using it for Daniel Bryan if only because, oh, he's not the model kind of superstar. Zack Ryder can be, if Zack Ryder wasn't buried, him being the WWE champion, at least from how he acts and who he is, it just doesn't seem like it's that off. From the way he looks, it doesn't even seem as if, Zack Ryder, WWE champion. At one point, mind you. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, you know, John Cena, Zack Ryder, whatever. Like, you know. But, like, now it's understandable. But there's nothing about Zack Ryder makes you think, oh, God, like, that guy could never make it here. He's just too muscly, and he has short hair, and he's white. Oh, my God, get this guy out of the ring. Think about it.
Nobody's going to sit there and do that to Brock Lesnar. Like, the opposite doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Which really, like, you know, so if you're going to sit there and Daniel Bryan is way more in shape than I could ever hope to be in the next year.
He really is.
You know? So it's just, that's the one thing that I think was stupid about it. I'm glad Zack Ryder got a win. I'm not going to take anything away from that. I'm really glad he got a win on television because that man has gone through, like, all for WWE, and he is a New York native, so I respect him and I love him. But my God, like,
I would like to mention, though, you mentioned, you know, the word bitch being used in that angle, you know, with Stephanie and Brie. I would say more insulting, I think, is just the fact that we still have Summer Rae and Layla doing this stuff, you know, where they're, like, cheating to make sure that Fandango doesn't win, right? And you're kind of supposed to sit there and go, yep, that's what girls do when they're scorned. They don't just go, oh, well, and then move on because screw him and then move on. No, they have to make his life a living hell to make you actually feel somewhat sympathetic towards Fandango. Like,
yeah.
You're, like, that's the thing. You shouldn't
feel... I don't know. If you're feeling sympathetic for Fandango, I don't think
here's
I'm there
the
yet.
I feel no sympathy for that man.
I could get there. I see what you're saying. I could get
yeah.
there.
It's a slippery
but I
slope.
Have no sympathy for this guy yet. Because in my head, it's like he's getting what happened, you know, regardless of treatment of women and all that stuff.
Right.
In terms of, like, the angle, what you're saying in terms of, like,
right.
how this is how women
yeah.
act him. Fandango's
right.
screwed with two women.
You
here's
know, the thing.
And... He's getting what's coming to him now.
And
that's he's
just,
getting
and he
what
now. What's over the, and he dumped one over the internet. That's just.
I mean,
that's
yeah.
not etiquette.
Yeah, I can't have sympathy for this guy whose character is for him to. Yeah, he dumped one on Twitter. And
I
then,
know,
you know.
Thing is, I'm not saying that I feel. Obviously, like you said, we don't feel sympathetic for him yet, and we shouldn't. But the problem is that it's slippery slope. And also, it makes the girl seem petty in a way. Because remember something. If it happened once in a night, maybe a week or whatever, but it just feels as if now they're actively plotting. Because here's the thing, too. They're coming out with different men, you know? So it's like they're actively plotting to think, yes, we'll make him jealous by coming out with different men, then screw him over in his matches, and people will cheer for it, and people will be happy with it. And it's just eventually. I feel as if it's becoming, I understand that, yes, you have to, you know, it's a bad thing that what he did, you know, you have to get back at him. But again, it feels as if week after week after week after week, two shows, you know, maybe even three if you want to include maybe happening on Main Event or something. It also possibly happening on pay-per-views from now on. It's just, if this keeps on happening, you know, it's going to be like, all right, guys, could we, because you know how it does.
But here's what I'll say to you, though.
All right.
I don't. They got a face reaction when they turned on Fandango, right?
Right.
But
right.
if they keep this up and we start feeling sympathy for him, then that
right.
makes Fandango a face. And
which
that makes them heels again. Do you get what I mean? So, which I don't think, no, because the thing is, if you overdo it, man or woman, if you overdo this whole thing, nobody, like, you know, in like a year, if they were to keep this going, I know they wouldn't do that long. But just for example,
Anonymous
would sit
there
and
be like, GM, Ish.
Yeah, I know, my God. But you don't even
what
have rounds for
you
that,
doing,
my God.
Ed?
You can't talk.
What
you
are you doing, Edge?
GM.
What
but,
are you doing,
like,
Edge?
It's just, like,
right.
when it comes down to this, like, if they kept this going for that long, people would sit there and be like, wow, these are terrible people. You know, we do feel bad for Fandango now. He may have got
right.
his worth and then some, you know? So
right.
with that, I'm not saying I like that or that or that's what they should do. I'm just saying what the issue is for me with the angle, besides the fact that, yeah, they are kind of switching between men and that's kind of like an objectification thing going on there. It's, I don't know where they're going with this. Like, what's the payoff now? Because they could have laid this to rest already. And I know
fair
what they're
enough.
Doing. Like, they're doing this. They could have laid this to rest already, and I don't know what they're doing. Like, is something going to happen at SummerSlam where he becomes a face? Like, or do they turn against each other?
I
don't
mean,
know what they're doing.
Me neither. I mean, you know, that's, I don't know. I feel as if they're – I feel as if so much more could have been done to make them seem a bit more mature because, again, it's a face turn. A face thing to do is just say, well, you know what? Screw that guy. We are going to move on. Screw with him once or twice, whatever. It's WWE, obviously. But, again, week after week, it, like I said, it just already feels like a – that's why I'll argue over and over and over, brand split, because if it happened once a week, it would seem less overused than twice a week and pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Where
yeah.
it's just, but anyway, Daniel, thank you for calling.
Yeah.
I'm happy we got to talk about Zack Ryder because it's always a good time talking about Zack Ryder. If you want to see a Zack Ryder match,
I actually got youth out of my headband. I actually have a Zack Ryder headband.
Good, I like that. That's good. Long Island IC. That's good. And yeah, if you want to watch Zack Ryder, go to the network and watch his rise and then his slight rise and then fall. His just fall. To the bottom.
Literal fall yeah. in a wheelchair off the stage. Right
Literal.
Sorry.
It
has to
do it. All right.
Oh, man. But yeah, thank you for going, Daniel. And, of course, keep on listening in. And if anyone else wants to talk with us, you know, when we're talking about something, you know, whatever it may be, call us. The number is number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. And, yeah, we're talking about something that you want to jump in on, please do, because why the hell not, right? But, so what's funny is, speaking of that segment with Stephanie and Brie and Nikki, we had a Divas Handicap match, and there was story involved, you know, woohoo.
Right, so that's what came next chronologically, right? It was the Divas Handicap match?
Yes.
Okay, so that led into the, you know, slightly into what we just touched on, so.
Right. Also, a weird question, and this is a weird question if only because I want to know if you've heard anything or if Twitter mentioned anything. Did Nikki have a nip slip of any chance? Because there was a black screen out of nowhere, and Nikki was kind of holding her chest, and she was on the floor, and usually they do that when wardrobe malfunctions happen.
I don't know if there was one. I didn't see
one.
You know, by the time we do the next show, we'll know.
Right.
Maddie, I know you're listening. If you can just scan Twitter for us and see if there was something like that. Because me, I just
really
passed.
That's a really awkward question. I'm sorry.
I know.
Yes.
It is. But, to be honest, I just thought it was a technical difficulty.
Production team strikes again.
She did.
Oh, damn. All right. I assumed as much. But, because,
you,
I mean,
you
again.
You want that conspiracy to be a thing.
Production team. I want them all. I want
you
the
know
production
what, for you,
team.
The nip slip was a production issue. Goddamn it! It was a setup by the costume people. They did this.
No,
they're in cahoots,
the costume people. I see the costume people on Total Divas. They're very nice. They would never do such a thing.
Goddamn it!
No, but seriously though, I want it to be a point where all of the people in the rafters are just like, they're like, wait, is that, like, they think it's like, is that like Sting? It's like, no, wait, they have a white mask on. He's here, the Phantom of the production team. Just, the whole team is just dressed as the Phantom. They're all just running around. It's like, guys, you work here. Silence.
You have a
That's
lot
what
of
I
time
want.
On your mind right now.
I just basically want there to be a giant conspiracy, yes. I would
but
enjoy
no, anyway.
It. So, but seriously, though, good stuff happened there, I would argue. Because, hey, there's Steph's girls, which is nice. They were, you know, pep talk. And then the match happened,
yeah.
And then it was basically just a full-on beatdown. Nikki looked really upset. Now, I don't know about what, though. The issue with her wardrobe or the fact that, you know, she was, you know, KFAP beaten down by four women, which is a huge issue. I mean, they were so brutal that I was happy because women being brutal is a good thing, guys, you know. They don't have to be worried about breaking a nail. Be brutal.
Right, no. But, I mean, I just, the exchange between, that was Brie, yes? Brie and
yes.
Stephanie.
Yeah. The one behind the barricade.
Yeah, I slip with the names a lot. I'm not very talented with
that. I understand.
But, like, especially with the Usos, my God. But.
They're both one man. CGI'd in.
So with Brie and Stephanie, I mean, I didn't like it because I feel like at some point they've gotten very uncreative with their promos, especially for women, you know, and it's just
fair
like
enough.
Whenever they need this to be serious, they're like, you know what, we're going to let her use the B word on TV, and she's going to say it, and then everyone's going to be like, oh no, she did it, and the crowd eggs this on, which
I
don't really like.
I would argue it's just a shock factor where WWE has become so PG that saying a word like crap or bitch or shit, you know, it's just like,
but they know what they're doing with
that.
Because,
yeah,
like, they know when they say it, everyone's going to be like, ooh. And they do it more often than they need to for a PG show.
Fair enough.
Or what they want to call a PG show. So it just irks me because I feel like they could get more creative. And I know there are some people out there that agree with me because it's just, I use the word bitch myself. You know, I know the connotation. I know what it's supposed to mean. I use it on guy and girl alike. You know, I am that type of person. I'm not, like, free of criticism here. But,
well,
like,
this is
it feels
for a
like
television show.
As soon as it gets serious for television here, for these women angles, they're just like, you know what? We're going to use the B word. And that's it. And it was really good for me outside of that. Like, everything else I loved. And, of course, the follow-up later on, I thought was
right, of course,
incredible. Like, really incredible. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
So that much, it almost made up for it, but I just feel like they can get more creative. Like, I'm hoping next week when this happens, we just don't hear it again. Because not that I have anything against the word, but I feel like they're going to get
lazy.
We won't
hear it again. Well, you mean said again. You mean don't want it to be said again. Oh, no, I don't think it'll be said twice, 2 weeks in a row. But we will sure as hell be seeing that promo again next week.
Yeah, and they bleeped it out when they did it again
later
in the show.
Which is weird.
Which is annoying. Because that's why I know that they, like, why would you drop it when you know that when you show these promos later, you're going to, like, you know,
yeah, that
you're
going to
get rid of it.
You know what they're probably trying to do? They're probably, and it's smart, I think, they're trying to do a sense of, we didn't see it coming. Because
yeah, I know what I do. Punk, kids will be like, oh, my God, they didn't know she was going to say, but she was a fan. She's not an employee. They
exactly.
don't know what's going on.
Because it's cool.
Clear,
yeah.
But to everybody else, it's really stupid.
Well, no. What I think is bad is they
the people
they
whose mommies don't
trust whole...
them in at night, to quote Paul,
yeah.
it's
what
really
I'll
stupid.
Is, what I'll say is this much. It felt weird because I think they blocked out the entire thing where it's like, you know what? Instead of just Yora and then block, I'm pretty sure you're a bitch.
Or daddy's, by
blocked
the way.
Out.
I shouldn't discriminate. If your daddy stuck you into bed at night, that's cool, too.
Pretty much, yeah. But I feel as if I believe the whole phrase was blocked off, which sucks because at first I thought it was a production error, or you know, my TV or something, or you know, the production team.
Of course, you thought it was a production error.
The production team. But what actually? Hey, if you know. Anyway, so yeah, production team. So, but then I realized, oh wait, it's being bleeped out again. So is it the production team or is it actually? No, it was. Just,
I like
you know,
that they have their little theme song now, though.
Yeah, they just do. Just down one small. You're in the rafters. You're up. But anyway, speaking. So moving forward.
A team called production. But no,
yeah,
I.
Yeah. But Bo Dallas versus Sandow, which is confusing for everyone who isn't 5 years old, because if you're 5 years, if your mommy or daddy tuck you into bed at night, you think that Bo Dallas guy is really cool, and then their dad and their mom just goes, "Who's Bo Dallas?"
Oh, I got confused because I'm like, wait, anyone who's not fight doesn't really know who LeBron James is? I was confused. I'm like, are you saying that nobody knows who LeBron James is? And I was going to be like,
No.
I know sports are not your forte.
No. My point is My point is the fact that
Sandow,
no matter who,
Sandow's a heel.
Always.
Well, Bo is still, it's interesting because he's being booked as a face, and at first that bothered me.
Yeah.
But I think I like it because it's adding to the whole act of like, no, he's a good guy, honest. You know what I mean?
I don't like
it
because
he feels like he's a good guy.
Here's
the thing. He feels like he's doing the right thing.
Here's the thing. If this was back in the day, back like way back, like back when like in NXT when we have characters, right? Back in that in those days when everyone was really a big character played up, you know, for everything, it would be as if yeah, he's trying to be a good guy, honest. But they would say, but wait a minute, he's doing something so dirty. That's not something a good guy would do. But now today it's just like you know, it's like oh no, he you know he took him, he, you know he got him from behind, he took him for a roll up, and he had the tights. And it's like oh no, it's like wait, but other than the tight thing, it's like but wait, Sheamus did that. Wait a minute, this diva did that. Wait a minute. And then also
I agree with you if you're saying they haven't upplayed the heel aspects yet.
They haven't upplayed the heel aspects yet, and the things that they do are things that faces can do as well, and then they don't get repercussions for it, which I think is a huge problem because, again, I feel as if back when, you know, they were like, it's like way back where it's just like, he's a heel. He's, you know, he's killing a baby. Crazy stuff, right? Where now it's just like, well, I mean, John Cena, like, you know, stepped on a
kid. You mean
like
wait
outside
good. The ring, get inside the ring, F you somebody, and then steal the pin when someone else was going to win?
Exactly. Stuff like
stuff
that.
Stuff
like just
that
like,
that faces should never be doing? Is that what
pretty
you're saying?
Much.
I'm,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, it's
I
like
think
John
I understand
Cena.
What you're
like,
saying.
Yeah. It's like John Cena stepped on a kid, but it was one of Bray Wyatt's kids. It was for the greater good. It's like, but he stepped on a kid. You know, things like that, where it's just like, So that's a little thing, which the things where people are not being criticized for as faces, that when heels do it, it's like, second coming of Satan, Bray Wyatt, you know, poked the guy in the eye. It's like, John Cena literally buried the guy under production stuff that he could have, you know, gone on fire with. John Cena, you know, Bray Wyatt poked the guy in the eye.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't, and this is not a criticism of Raw tonight, but more so a criticism of the Bo Dallas character. Is
right.
that they haven't got to play up his heelness yet. And it bothers me, but at the same time, I'm not that angry because I don't think they're so dense that they don't realize that they need to make him more heelish. You know?
But yeah,
and
I know.
I hope they're not. And I think at SummerSlam, he may have an actual angle, which would be great, because at some point, people get bored of seeing the same goddamn thing, and they want their character in an angle for that character to stay interesting.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel as if it's, you know, we'll get up to Rusev when we do, but I will say it's a bit of a Rusev thing, where it's just, I feel as if, for some reason, they're really making their guys really beat up all of the jobbers, and then do it all again, before they can go, here's a story for you. As if it's
Probably on his second round around now, so I mean,
I think he's good. Just like Rusev was on his second round around before he got Swagger, so I think he's going to be good. You know,
yeah,
where
we'll see what happens.
I mean, yeah, but anyway. So moving on. You know, by
the way,
we saw Sandow
LeBron James stuff. By the way,
before
just want to say I love that.
Right.
Cleveland, I'm coming home. And then, you know, he does like the little mimic. He makes it seem like the people's elbow more with the tossing
right.
the head. And that
right.
was really nice. Sandow continues to be the best character actor in WWE today.
The one thing I will say that was really progressive of WWE, and I mean this with, I laugh, but I kind of mean this with straight face. The fact that he wasn't in blackface, I think is very progressive for the WWE. I have to be honest. I have to be very, very, very honest here. Doesn't
I don't
that
even have a comment for that.
Doesn't that mean something? Aren't we moving towards the future? Like, I'm pretty sure The Rock, I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure Triple H dressed up as The Rock in the 90s and he was slightly blackface. I'm fairly certain.
The 90s.
Again, though, we're moving forward.
It's 2014.
Okay,
it's
has
like
it been
20 years since then. I was born in the 90s.
I got to be honest, had this been 2006 with New DX, I wouldn't be surprised if they had done something like that.
I would have been.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Can we move on?
I'm just saying that WWE is getting a lot better. That, you know, it's good. We're getting there. We're getting there. Also, speaking of Bray Wyatt, as if that's a good segue, speaking of Bray Wyatt, he really loves working with Jericho.
You can
he
tell.
He clearly does. You really can tell. You know, and of course, Jericho is just so good at selling.
So we're there. We're there, by the way. We're at the Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, we're here.
Jericho.
We're here right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Did he kick it into overdrive tonight?
Which is what you need to do. You really need to do that when you, you know, when you suffer all these losses. But at the same time, you know, what I like about this time around with this loss, they really, like, you can tell that Jericho is behind this. I'm really worried, where they might have been like, hey, so Jericho, you want this clean win on this guy? Like, Jericho put his finger over their mouths, just, I'm going to win over him. Like, I'm going to beat him. But, you know, damn it, am I going to look tired? You know, are the other guys going to, like, things are going to happen that's going to make this guy look really good at the end. So I can see Bray winning SummerSlam and just looking beautiful coming out of this. And
yeah, it's funny to
thing.
Me because Jericho, people were sitting there like, oh, Jericho was gassed last night. Jericho was exhausted. Jericho was selling.
Yeah.
Jericho sells.
I mean,
what he does.
And he's very good at it.
Got his head bashed into that thing, and he sold it like he was dead.
Yeah, like no one looked at that and went, see, look at him. He's just like Batista. Look at the way he kind of just fell after getting hit with the finisher on the wall. Like,
yeah,
it's like, no, he's...
The little blood at the end was a really nice touch, by the way.
Oh, my
but,
God. That was nuts because, again, I didn't think... You know, it's funny because WWE conditions you in a way where you don't expect to see blood because, well, I mean, it's bad because it's like cartoons nowadays where it's like, oh, the guy's gotten beaten up to hell. Can we make him bleed? But think of the children. And it's like, you mean think about the fact that if they beat someone up to that point, they'll think that there's no blood and no one dies because everything's
yeah,
all
I mean,
happy.
If the blood is the opposite of the shock value, like B-word to me, because
yeah.
I think that's real to me, and I like that. Because
exactly.
People
yeah.
are going to bleed when you beat them, and
that's
what happens. I know they want to stray away from that. I don't really get it. I'm sorry. That's one of the things I don't understand.
I
but
know. It's
they want to stray away from it. It's good when they use it effectively. Tonight was one of those
oh, yeah.
nights because it really looked like Jericho was beat down from that move.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
follow that up with, you know, Wyatt going on the highlight reel, just, you know, basically, oh, your scheduled host can't make it tonight.
Yeah.
Sorry. And just leading into a beautiful promo that almost, and I said this to you during the Raw promo.
Right.
That the promo would have been like 300 times stronger if he wasn't just coming off a Cena, lost this whole thing with Cena beforehand. And I said that in the middle of the promo. And then
yeah.
he got to the part about how I'm not supposed to judge him like a normal man. And it was written so poetically and powerfully.
That's
and his
right.
delivery, as always.
Yeah, I mean, just,
you know, is amazing.
What I would argue, and it might just, It was, and it might just be me overthinking this, but when he says the words "I am forever," right, I think it means even more with coming off of a Cena loss. Because, and again, I don't know if he's thinking this. I feel like he would think this, but I don't know if, like, everyone in WWE was thinking this or if, you know, the fans are meant to. But it comes off to me that he's even stronger, if only because, not the whole, you know, like, the whole, like, Immortal Phoenix kind of thing, although that's really a cool concept. No, it's the fact that you look at the guys who've lost to John Cena, and sure, some of them are still around. Zack Ryder just got a win. Mind you, I want there to be a record. I want to see his record of wins. Maddie, if you could look that up, other than the, you know, putting aside the wardrobe thing, that would be amazing. Zack Ryder's win-loss record in the last, what, 3 years? Compared to, and then you look at Wade Barrett, who just thankfully got his momentum back before the injury to, you know, really become something after that Nexus thing. You know, when people get into John Cena's path, very rarely they come out looking the same way. So the fact that Bray Wyatt came out and is now here still, you know, having as much promo time as he did before, being able to, you know, I mean, yeah, it would have been awkward. Where would he have really gone, you know, if Jericho wasn't here? So thank you for coming back, Jericho. But
right.
Jericho coming back and then just bringing his A game still. Like, it's, you know, he hasn't, sure, he lost as John Cena, but he wasn't defeated. You know, and that's what's great about it, is that, you know, he's still, so in a way I do feel like it's forever. He's a, you know, an immortal, because anyone else, regardless of who they are, they probably would have been like, yep, take him off, whatever, just take him off, you know, just, well, if they, he lost to John Cena, so kind of put him down the card, you know.
Yeah,
and
I feel like taking into context what happened, I'll admit that by the end of the promo,
yeah,
I was very much refreshed, because he brought the old Bray Wyatt out, and that was something to enjoy, because this is a guy who, on the microphone, is incredible, absolutely incredible. And so tonight was a really good example of who he is, and just this leader who you really have to mess with this guy to keep him down. And again, this is a promo coming off a loss last night, which is why it was so amazing, because forget the Cena stuff for a second. He was able to sound and look so powerful tonight, coming off a loss.
Yes.
That's impressive. And also
what
he did there is he laid the seeds effectively for SummerSlam, the rematch. Because before, you think Jericho beat him, why does he have to do him again? Wyatt just crushed his head into that, you know, cabinet, closet, the dressing room thing, and just talk shit about him again, basically saying, you can't save us, you can't save yourself, man. Wyatt's here, I'm here. And
also,
suddenly, it's become bigger than two of them.
Right. Also, I have to interrupt you. We have ourselves a caller. I would like to patch him or her through. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Is this Gio? Is this who I think it is?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Giovanni Anglin, the advocate of Paul Heyman, who is the advocate of Brock Lesnar. Yes, this is him.
I thought you'd be calling for LeBron James.
Salute to LeBron James, man. He's
doing
a great charity work.
Brock Lesnar is the advocate for Jimmy Johns as well. We don't mention that as much anymore. But he still, you know, advocates eating sandwiches at that place because it's still on his shirt.
I've never been to Jimmy Johns.
It's actually pretty good. My ex-girlfriend used to work there. Hate the bitch, but, you know, good sandwiches.
You two are talking about sandwiches. Yeah, now I know.
Sandwiches,
you two
are
talking about food,
man.
Places. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Gio, you're calling in. What's up? What's got your interest tonight? Did you like Raw as much as we did?
It was better than last week. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
that's not really like it's a pretty easy standard to top.
I don't know. No, because I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I felt as if last week's Raw was just a huge dip in quality compared to what we should get, especially going into a pay-per-view. I felt like they just stopped caring because they just went, oh, yeah, everything's in place. And now that SummerSlam's coming up, they're like, yep, kick it into gear. And now Raw's a lot better than it was last week, I would argue.
I honestly felt that Battleground had no reason to exist.
Of course.
And no reason.
It did. That's a huge issue, you know? I mean, we were talking about this before. You know, Battleground had no reason to exist because, I mean, yeah, there were a few things that changed here or there, but yeah, it was not much different from a normal, you know, from a normal show, which is a huge problem, I would say.
It's like a normal episode of Raw.
Yeah, but what did you like from this Raw? Now that, you know, that's wrong. What really, I mean, obviously we know what caught your interest. I assume it's the, you know, Brock Lesnar. I assume that's what really.
Absolutely. I just want to commend the WWE for one thing. Emma was on TV. Holy crap. I wasn't expecting this so soon.
Really? You weren't expecting Brock Lesnar?
No, Emma.
Oh, Emma? Sorry, I didn't hear you. Actually, here's the thing. I agree. She was recently on Main Event, which I know it isn't WWE TV, but it was the network, and that does matter because they really eased her back in very well.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that. Yeah, they're doing a very good job with that because they're understanding that, hey.
Exactly. I commend the WWE for that.
That's
they're
what
like,
I'm saying.
We messed up, you know?
Yeah, no. That's
we're
what
sorry.
I'm saying. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think it's more of the fact that I know we don't have to, like, I know it might sound crazy how Tish and I are like, Triple H does everything right. But we do believe that there's a bit of a chance where WWE just, you know, jumped the gun, and they were like, fire her. And then someone like Triple H or a couple of people, you know, were just like, backstage, excuse me, what was that? There are actually some pictures going around on the comments thread of CSS where it was just like, hey, Vince McMahon, yo, hey, Kevin Dunn, what did you say again? And Triple H was holding the sledgehammer smiling.
Right,
like,
right.
Could you repeat that? You know, the firing thing? I'm sorry, could you repeat that? So, yeah, I believe that he and some other people who could vouch for her, you know, for how good she was. And, I mean, hell, you probably saw I'm sure, as you know, the fan reaction was nuts. We have guys like Jack Swagger and girls like Cameron on the roster, and yet Emma.
No one gives a crap about confetti.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that what they did, though, what they did to Cameron bribing the police officer, and then Jack Swagger with the DUI, and then Emma accidentally, quote unquote, because we don't know, but we assume it's an accidentally steals an iPod case, and then gets fired on the spot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank God for the internet.
Pretty much. That's what I'm saying, where I know it's slow build, but the WWE is moving towards something good, something better, because they're hearing what we're saying, and not everything. Yeah, they can't go with everything, but they're hearing the things that we're saying and going, huh. Because how bad would it look if in the media, because everyone's flooding media outlets, you know, woman released because of iPod case thing. Man
Absolutely.
Kept on the... Man kept and pushed after DUI charges.
Okay.
Like,
I understand. Definitely.
Yeah. Yes. So, Tish, are you dead?
No, I'm here. I'm just listening. Oh,
I just want to say, cool match. I didn't really care about Paige when heel, so, you know, finally. Should have did that yesterday, but, you know,
we're,
fine. It's cool.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we should have done that a week ago. But, I mean, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. But, hey,
yeah.
We're doing good.
Yeah.
We really are moving, you know, forward with the women's division, I would say.
Yeah.
It's slow. It's a slow thing, but it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, we still have our little bumps in there. You have, you know, karaoke, Eva Marie. We don't need them, but, you know, we have some people here, you know.
I would argue that Eva Marie is just fine being there. The issue is that there shouldn't be on the main roster.
Absolutely not.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Remember something, Gio. Every person there gets training. The issue is that they have not given Eva Marie the training that she needs. Did you know that she was only in NXT originally for about 2-3 weeks, and they immediately liked her look? They bumped her to the main roster. Imagine, look at the people that are in NXT now. Hell, you know, some of the people that were WWE made, like Roman Reigns, who were WWE made. They weren't in the Indies beforehand. But imagine if Roman Reigns, look at where he is right now, and imagine if he was only in NXT for 3 weeks and then got jump pushed to the main roster. He would be terrible, and that's the problem. They need to train her. Again, I'm not saying that she's going to become the next Divas champion. Please, God, no. But
I think
that she can have her place on the roster, as could many others. Well, at least her specifically. She could have her place on the roster, which is jobbing, or at least making other talent
jobbing.
Look good. But she can't even job right now because she can't even wrestle right now. See, that's the issue.
Exactly.
Right, but that's the thing. So I don't think she needs to be getting – and, hell, she does get fans in. Now, I'm not saying the best people, but she gets money in. That's the point. She gets money in. She can get fans in. The problem is that she needs to learn how to wrestle better, and then it'll make her matches better. But, yeah, but it's okay. But we're going to have to cut you off. But before we do, anything you want to say about the night before?
Yeah, WWE, don't fuck up Kenta, please. Don't screw up. Don't do it.
Actually, that should be every single show we do. That's how we should end it. Just,
don't
hey, WWE, don't fuck up Kenta. This
exactly.
is a service announcement from those guys.
I'd like it to be a thing if only, like, a don't fuck up X, and then, like, no matter what, it's just something different. Don't fuck up this angle. Don't fuck up Kenta. Just like that kind of thing.
Don't
where
fuck up Kenta, please. Just no
it's a really delicate
stereotype.
Situation, too. Because Kent is coming over here late.
He can't do the GPS. He can't do the running knee.
That.
Just give him something cooler.
I would argue that if Kenta really is coming here to kick our ass, there was a video about that, by the way, where he said in an interview, I think it was with Renee Young, he was like, I'm coming to WWE to kick your ass, you know, to kick some ass. You could arguably have him steal people's finishers, at the very least, steal Daniel Bryan's and, quote-unquote, steal, yeah, I use quotes, but steal CM Punk's. It's only
he
to
can't
say,
steal CM Punk's move. CM Punk stole his move.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? That's why I use quotes. I was like, steal their moves and just say,
yeah.
You know, and actually
nobody
have a promo.
Nobody saw your quotes, Matt.
That's why I said the quotes, though. I said them.
I
so
definitely can't see those quotes.
My point is this. You can both shut your mouth holes. The point is that you can have basically him say, you know, they're like, you can have people screaming CM Punk, let's say, because he does the GTS, and he goes, I made that move. You know, he's like, he didn't, you know, I mean, like, that's the move, that's my move, that's not his move. You know, like, you can have him gain heel heat from that, just from the fact that people are like, oh, he steals moves. Like, no, he made them. Well, regardless, he's being a jerk, and he kicks ass. He can basically be Japanese Brock Lesnar, and it's okay.
He is Japanese Brock Lesnar.
That's what I'm saying for the main roster, for, you know, trying to, like, translate it for people who, like, are like, oh, so this Kenta guy, who is he? He's Japanese Brock Lesnar. Let's just,
yep.
You know. And then they see him, work, and they go, damn, he is Japanese Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
you know,
salute,
like,
to Kenta. Don't ruin him. Please don't. You already ruined this to go. Okay?
Before
just
we let you go,
don't ruin Kenta.
Before we let you go, to make it seem a bit better, they didn't announce a name change. They said that we've signed Kenta.
That's
whole
good.
Time they've said that, so it's a bit, like, I assume, although I will admit, you know, a guy over 30, a guy close to 35, who, you know, who is, you know, an older guy close to 35, it's like, huh, maybe they're going to put him in a costume.
No.
And that comes out as Pikachu.
No.
Completely, because of how WWE operates, that's just who they go. That one, they didn't even know what Pikachu is. Vince was like, the mouse thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. We're going to have to let you go, but again, thank you for
okay.
calling. And
One more thing.
Please.
Shouts out to Dolph Ziggler. You won, finally. Yes. Okay, I'm done.
No, Zack Ryder? Just to Dolph?
Oh, yeah, salute to Zack Ryder. Round of applause for Zack Ryder, please.
Yeah.
Can we just give it up? This man has been in a slump for 2 years. He finally won a match, okay?
Actually, I have no thought
as a New
that.
York native, you know, I'm really happy for him, you know?
Yeah.
He's
no,
trending on Twitter right now as we speak, okay?
By fact checker,
Maddie
noted some math on that. Apparently, since 2012, he's won 19 matches, two of those being on Raw and one of them being on Night of Champions in 2012. The rest were on Superstars or Mania Access. He's 19.
Okay, that makes sense.
He's 19 and 31 since June 19th, 2012.
Geez, so he hasn't even been doing much then, if you think about it, with the events that they do and the shows
mm-hmm.
and everything. Geez, that's bad.
He's been on Mania Access too, according to Maddie.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
at least
yeah,
the streak
yeah.
for Damian Sandow is still living on, you know?
Yeah. So you know, but again, thank you for calling in, and yeah, you'll
thank
definitely
you
call in the
me.
Future. Of course.
All right.
He has a very erotic, seductive way of whispering, doesn't he? He can't hear – well, he can still hear us. The show's still on. But he can't speak anymore because we've hung up. Does
I don't know why you
that?
Didn't say that on air. He deserves to hear that.
No, he can still hear it if he's still actually – if he isn't listening in, that's his fault. He should be listening to our show. Anyone who's calling in should, in theory, be listening because why would you just call in a random point in time? You know? So I would say that, you know – and if he didn't hear it, just text him. He would love to hear it, I'm sure. Just the ladies would love it. Maybe we should screw the guest call-in number. Let's give them Gio's call-in number on air. Just to call Gio and to hear him say things to you in a quiet yet seductive whisper. Please call 1-800-GIO. Anyway, so moving forward. Yeah, Bray Wyatt is good at what he does. So good for Bray. Thank you, Bray. Thank you for being good. Also, the app footage, I thought they weren't going to show it to us, and I was going to get really upset. Did you notice that when they were like, if you just noticed what happened on the app,
I'm glad that they did because, look, I don't live, and breathe WWE.
I wish
so
I did, but yeah.
When they go on commercial breaks,
yes.
I don't turn on the app like, what's going on? I must see it now.
Yeah,
and
I will admit it's interesting sometimes. I did it once and it was very interesting, but it was hard to log in each time, which was an issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't usually utilize the app for that kind of stuff, you know? So
right.
I just let the commercials play because Raw will come back on in like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So the fact that they did this on the app slightly bothered me.
It only bothered me if they weren't going to show the footage, but the fact they showed the footage,
right,
and they said, oh,
they
because they need people to get their app for some reason or another. You know, I mean, an app, in my opinion, is another expense that it's free. It's another expense. They need to have people get it to show, see, here's our numbers. So if there's no one getting the app, like literally 4 million people are watching Raw. 10,000 have the app. You know, that's like, people need to get the app, please. Just download it. Just, you know, just show them that there's numbers, people logging in, people signing in, so that they have, because they have these cameras running. They have these people doing interviews and stuff during the app. So it's more Raw, which is strange how, for some reason, no download will ever actually have the app stuff, you know, with it, which is weird because you do lose that. But, hey, again, they're smart for not, you know, for I'm sorry, they're smart for using that footage in the show itself. Thank goodness, because
yeah,
they didn't.
No, that was really, because the way they did that is great, because it's like subtle little drop hints of you should get the app.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because for the younger people who don't like overthink it, they're just like, yeah, I do want to watch everything that goes on. What else am I missing? So that's
exactly.
I mean, it bothers me, but it is, it's best for business. Is obviously
yes.
that term. It is
yes.
best for business.
And
but,
good
beatdown, good everything about that, honestly. Yeah, I agree.
And moving forward, speaking about something that Gio mentioned, yeah, good for Ziggler. Ziggler versus The Miz. Ziggler won, and I think that it was needed, and I'm happy because, again, I said this to you last night. Sadly, we weren't able to do a show last night because of, you know, Ashley Colpan's internet access, sadly. But and you were in Boston. But I will say that what was great about last night
is,
Maryland,
you know, you dick.
Not the same place. I'm sorry, I don't even know anymore.
Stop offending
doesn't matter.
People.
You were not in New York. That's what mattered.
Yeah, and my connection was also pretty bad wherever I was.
Right. So what I would say,
where
though,
in the world
is that...
Ram? No.
Again, so, yeah, right? Where in the world is Satish Ram? Da-na-da-na. But anyway, I don't know why I went James Bond. Anyways, the point is, right, getting actually on damn traffic is that, you know, The Miz won last night, which is an issue.
Right.
Shut your face, piehole. So he won last night, which is an issue for you. For me, it felt kind of new because I didn't think he was going to win.
I like that you qualified it after because I was like, wait, it's an issue for you too? I'm so proud. I changed you without even arguing.
No, it's an issue for you. I'm not saying I love that he won, mind you. I'm not like, yeah, Miz, you know, supporter since 2014, right? I'm not saying that I love the Miz or anything. But I do like his current heel work. I haven't seen that kind of move in a very long time because they have been doing a lot of battle royales recently that haven't happened, you know, where the person was hiding outside the ring came in and threw him off. I think the only thing in that battle royale that really pissed me off that was completely unneeded was Heath Slater taking out Cesaro and then being taken out by Sheamus. That was anger-inducing, right? But this Ziggler thing, the reason why I'm okay with what's going on here is because you saw the camera just right on Ziggler, right on like a disappointed, upset Ziggler. Now he's at a match with him tonight that he won. He's clearly on the road to, have the number one contender spot. If they're smart, they will have this last until SummerSlam. He'll win at SummerSlam. Right? Or at the very least, if he loses, maybe he gets another shot somehow, because you know how they are with their freaking, you know, two matches here, whatever. Because if Ziggler, because here's the thing, Barrett will not come back a face. No matter what kind of cheers he gets, he still has a lot of heat for things that he says to people. Right? He will be coming back a heel. We need a heel to fight him. Miz won't be a face. He's a chicken shit heel. You know? So we need to have a guy like Ziggler or someone else come in to lose to Barrett. But the point is that someone has to win over The Miz, right? So Miz is a transitional champion for a transitional champion, I would argue.
No, so the thing is, I feel like now that he's back, and they're really
right.
putting, like, thought into this Hollywood thing, which is
right.
actually kind of amusing, the way that they lead off, like, his entrance
yes.
videos every
the
week
woman
is
tonight
changing.
Was interesting.
And that's
yes.
really funny to me. So I give him credit for that much. I was not happy with The Miz winning the title because I don't like The Miz. I don't think he's
Fair
a good
enough.
Performer. I don't like him. So there are certain things they can do to entertain me with him. And one of them, I think, is just put him in a compelling storyline because regardless of my hate for The Miz, you put him in a compelling storyline and I'm going to watch because he's improved in the ring to the point where I can watch him. You know, tonight was a
right.
great example of that.
Though he watched,
and,
but yes.
Yeah, I did watch. Because I basically told Maddie,
no,
like,
I said,
I'm
no, no, I
take...
said, no, no, I said he botched.
He did.
Like once. Yeah.
I told
but
her,
still,
you know, I'm going to take a
yeah.
piss break either during this match or during the Flo Rida concert. And, you know, I decided on the Florida concert because, you know,
but
what?
But, dude, Florida, he's so good at what he does with the singing
and
the vocals.
So is the unnamed young lady who was performing with him that didn't even get a mention.
Unnamed young lady, that was JoJo. Pretty simple that was JoJo could sing, that was JoJo. She just grew taller, and that wasn't JoJo.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a good joke, by the way. But, I think that one of the things that I would enjoy, outside of the good storyline, is that you call him a chicken shit heel, and it's funny because I think of, you remember how they booked Randy Orton in a way, as like the really cowardice type of heel, and like finding sneaky ways to win? I would enjoy that with The Miz, where like if he wins his title, it's via like he got really tired of the opponent and like DQs himself by clocking them with the belt, or like he finds really sneaky ways to win with like low blows or dirty pins or stuff like that.
Exactly.
I think we need a heel like that right now in the mid-card, and in terms of having
really
the title on that. That would be interesting. And so when it comes down to actually wrestling clean one-on-one matches, he can't win all of them. He can't look that strong. So the logical progression with him eliminating Dolph to end the match last night would be that he's facing Dolph tonight. And now that Dolph won, he's got to be the number one contender. So I like that. I never complain when Dolph wins. I just don't know what's going to happen here because does it go to SummerSlam where The Miz wins by, like, you know, The Miz loses by DQ or something and he keeps his title?
Happens?
Does he lose to Dolph? Because it's still a little bit of time. I understand what you're saying about Barrett, but there's still a little time before Barrett comes back.
Yes, I know.
So what,
what
are we going to do? I don't know what they're going to do.
Well,
I would prefer Ziggler to win, but that's because I'm biased towards Ziggler.
Well, no,
you
that's
know,
the thing.
Storyline-wise, it may make more sense for him to win.
No, here's the thing. If there's a DQ thing, then yeah, that would be smart. But if Miz wins over Dolph, I would be upset if only because, neither Miz or, like, Miz doesn't need that clean win or anything. Because the thing is, we need, we need someone like that kind of heel. Because I think that's the thing, too. I'm liking Miz's heel work because it's nice to kind of get back to the traditional, I'm doing really, dirty things as a heel, you know, the whole clean, dirty aspect of, SmackDown versus Raw, to the, those games where it's like, you're a clean superstar, so you're doing these moves. Oh, you're doing dirty moves, like, holding the ropes or whatever. I like those things. They don't work, though, for certain people, like a CM Punk or a Bray Wyatt, but they work very well with a guy like The Miz or even a bunch of others. And I like that. It feels traditional, and but it also feels just so right for someone like The Miz, right? So if he does something like that where the point where Miz cannot, like, Miz has to lose the match by DQ, but he also cannot, like, oh no, he has to lose the match, like, the whole DQ aspect, so he wants to keep the title. He pulls, like, I hate to say he pulls an Eddie, because I know you don't want those two in the same sentence, but what I mean is Miz is like, I cannot lose, you know what I mean? Like, I have to be the winner, but I also don't want to fight anymore. Throws a chair at Dolph, Dolph's like, what? Miz lays on the ground, he's like, all of a sudden the next night he goes, yes, I pulled the win out of a lie, and that's because I'm a good actor. See, that's the acting, you know? And, like, just like, you son of a... Like, that's the thing, where I would enjoy something like that in a way, where it's like... But either way, yes, I would hate if he gets the clean win over Dolph at the pay-per-view. Or any time sooner.
I'm not so upset with him retaining the title as I am, because the title has become so worthless because nobody freaking cares about it anymore. I'm more concerned right now with how
they
handle...
But The Miz would make it worth something. He's a movie star. He's been in those WWE films.
Yeah, and he's going to be in the Marine 4, which only amuses me because, seriously?
There's four of them.
The Marine 4?
What makes me laugh even more, wasn't Ted DiBiase Jr. in the in the second one? He was in the second one or the third one? Which one?
I'll confirm. I don't know if Maddie's still around, if you can check up who starred in the Marines, because I think it was John, of course, leading off.
Yeah. Right.
And he may have done the Marine 2, and then the Marine 3 was Ted DiBiase.
I want to say he did. All I know is this much. Because DiBiase isn't with the WWE anymore, they should just, like, erase everything involving that movie, like, just burn all the copies and everything, and just say, oh, yeah, the Marine 3 starring The Miz, and just call it a day.
The Marine 2 might actually be DiBiase, actually.
I thought it was. I feel like this is Miz's second Marine film for some reason.
Is it really?
I feel like it is, but I'm probably wrong. The point
God,
is that...
God, that would be so horrible.
My point is
For some reason, my head said Ken Kennedy, but it's really funny because, like, Ken Kennedy did Behind Enemy Lines, Columbia.
Oh.
So I know it's not Ken Kennedy.
Okay.
Is this a major second? It could be.
My point is this. My point is that, you know, it's just, I'm a movie star. I've been in the WWE movies, as in the Christmas one. So, I mean, I'm
a
movie
star.
You're
right here. Yeah, it's John DiBiase, Miz, and then it'll be Miz again.
Exactly. For the third movie.
So
the
they're
third
trying
movie.
To lose money. That's what they're doing here. Got it. I just wanted to confirm that's what
something.
Their decision was.
Remember something.
But,
Miz, oh, my God. I was going to say Miz 4. The Marine 4. The Marine 4 was
honestly,
made, was made
very
when they had
in,
money.
You've seen Scott Pilgrim, right?
Right.
I'd be very interested if the Miz suddenly became Lucas from the Lucas Lee, where, like, I'm nothing without my stunt team. And there are four Mizes. And he tried to pin the Miz. Suddenly, it's not the Miz. It's his body double. The real Miz comes from behind, rolls
lie.
You up for the win.
I'm not going to lie. How happy would you be if there were four Mizes, right? There were two of them look just like the Miz. The third one is the Miz. And the fourth is Mark Henry. How
would
happy would you be? How happy
would
you be?
I would love that.
I would be just so
that,
happy.
I'm adding that to list of things they can do with the Miz that would not make me, like, really angry.
Right.
And that's a very small list. That is a really small list. Because I have to admit, it's really hard to make a compelling story with a guy who's really bad at what he does. So,
you know what really sucks about The Miz? Although I will admit, this would probably take away stuff from, you know, Tyler Breeze. It would be nice if they had enough money to give him, like, you know, makeup people to kind of walk around with. Or, you know, like, basically people were just, Miz, are you walking around with your own camera? I'm filming a documentary of my time here. You know,
I
just
like
to make sure.
He hired some rookie out of NXT to do that, actually. Or better yet, to, like, document everything he says.
If they had money, then I think they would do that. Where
not
they,
even with money. Take an NXT rookie who nobody's seen on TV yet, right? And
right.
just have him follow or get Alex Riley to do it again, because that's how you made him useless for years.
Here's the thing, though. I say, the money comes from travel expenses now. Instead of the guy just staying in Florida, or girl, they now have to travel with The Miz everywhere he goes, which that's basically another mouth.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's right. They
WWE
can't do that.
WWE is now sitting there like just concerned parents, where it's just like, you know, where they look at the superstars, pay for your own things. You're over 18. It's like, sir, we work here. Like, sir, this is our job. Damn freeloaders. This is where we're employed.
Too good for too long.
you good.
Barely pay or feed them. Too good for too long. They're Canada.
Yeah.
What? Sir, what are you even... That's how they feel.
Like, WWE, what are you guys complaining about? We tripled your salary this year. Sir, you're paying us two ham sandwiches. TNA only pays one.
I remember that. That's continuity with your sandwich joke from TNA a couple months ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago. But yeah, basically that's what they pay you.
It's continuity night.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Ryder, same thing
Randy Orton and you making sandwich jokes about TNA.
That's a really, that's an awkward sentence altogether. But hey, Ziggler won, so that's nice. So, and of course we have, okay, so here's the thing. I find Cesaro breaking up with Heyman, you know, professionally. And I had to put that out there because of the whole, Ryback, would you be a Paul Heyman guy, right? So, professionally breaking up, I feel as if it's really stupid, only because the rumors, because here's the thing, because the rumors dictated, the rumors said, oh, hey, you know, they're really awkward in the back with Heyman managing two guys at the same time. So they're just going to make Cesaro break away from him somehow. And it was like, really? Like, and Cesaro wouldn't, that's the thing, it feels as if it was so forced out of nowhere where it's just, you know, Cesaro's just like, hey, you know, I you know, it's like, I'm not the Paul Heyman guy anymore. Oh, well, that makes sense. It's like, but it doesn't.
So here's
like,
the thing for me.
What?
And I'll say this.
Right.
The rumors are stupid as hell. Not saying they're wrong. It's stupid that they can't think of Paul managing two guys.
Okay.
Now, in terms of this breakup, right, when they showed Cesaro without Heyman, rather, last week.
Right.
I was pretty disappointed because it was kind of flat, didn't mean anything. This week, I really liked the whole, I don't want to be a Heyman guy, I want to be your guy thing. I really liked that.
True.
What I didn't like, A, is that they tried to do it last week and it just kind of fell flat because they didn't give a damn enough about it for anyone else to give a damn. And
right.
Two, they did a breakup that actually matters off screen for the most part.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
yeah,
there was
because...
no Cesaro Heyman exchange where it's like, sorry, I'm moving on. Now, here's the thing. By doing that, like, without the on-screen thing,
mm-hmm.
they save Cesaro from having a face reaction, which, for their purposes, is a good thing. Because breaking up with Heyman is a face move. Here's the problem.
I know.
They've been trying to force a heel reaction to a guy who just isn't a heel anymore.
That's what
he's
I'm
a face.
Yeah, that's my
People
thing. Yeah.
want to like him. And I know you agree
yeah.
with me there.
I'm just saying that it's just, you know, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to do this in a way where you could at least make little seeds of, you know, of, oh, well, there maybe be something in the future. But the fact that they don't want to do anything even for the future is mind-boggling. Like, why would you not have him manage two guys, see that he's giving Brock a little bit too much, you know, a bit too much, you know, whatever, and then after, you know, after Brock beats Cena, assuming that that is going to happen, Brock beats Cena, has the title for about a month or two, and then the next time around, just you kind of have Cesaro going, what are you doing, Paul? And, you know, and Paul says, well, you know, I mean, this is the main guy, and then you're the other guy. And all of a sudden, just, you know, Cesaro's pissed, you know what I mean? He turns on them, kind of like Punk did in a way, and then he gets a, even if he doesn't get a win from that, it's still the fact that, you know, in a match with Lesnar, I'm sure he would still do a very good job of looking good, you know? And I don't, that loss to his career, so long as he's actually doing some stuff beforehand, would be that huge on it. I feel like this was worse on his career. The fact that he was with Heyman for a while, barely did anything, didn't win the title last night, got pushed off by Slater, and then it's like, yeah, that Paul guy was, you know, whatever. He's only worked with the best.
I think
yeah.
what it is, also, remember, he's worked with Curtis Axel recently, so that's not even a good argument. But
the only here's the thing, though. Again, Paul had an, they had the opportunity to make a stable. And I say again because I've said this before. They have an opportunity to make a stable with Paul's guys where those two could have been a really good tag team.
They do seem very adverse to stables these days. I'll definitely give you that. But
yeah.
in terms of the Cesaro thing, what hurt his career was not being with Heyman and failing. It was, well, sort of it was. But it was WWE's booking of him with Heyman. You know,
right.
where... I was saying this for you. When Heyman did his promo tonight, to me, he sounded more motivated, more energetic. And I think part of that is because there's only so much you can do when you're given a mid-carder, or at the time a mid-carder, and he's basically supposed to stay stagnant.
Right.
Because you can't over-promote your guy because then nobody's going to give a damn about you. They're going to ignore you, and they're not going to care. And then they've given Cesaro nothing. So when you combine giving him a hype man with nothing to hype.
Yeah.
Not even a high-profile match. At some point, even the best hype man, nobody's going to really care. And he's going to stop caring, not because he's bad at what he does, but because it's hard to hype
it
up
is.
Somebody who just isn't going anywhere. So, and that really isn't
Cesaro's
fault, because he is very good at what he does all around. And
what's
I like
very...
that he's able to talk a little tonight.
Right.
Because he's not a bad promo guy. He's just not, like, a plus.
No, people, that's the thing. Yeah, people don't understand that. Like, for, it's very weird because I'm not saying that I don't like Roman Reigns' push, because I do, right? But when you have a guy like, you know, Cesaro just there, it really shows you kind of how inept they can be sometimes. When a guy like Cesaro literally, like, what sucks is basically, okay, if... Cesaro is so good in ways that it's like a kind of swagger situation, although the thing is Cesaro isn't quote-unquote American. But if Cesaro was American, he would just be the all-American, you know, actual all-American, I mean, WWE World Heavyweight Champion right now because, you know, America, right? Where Swagger has had some instances where he's been pushed back because, you know, DUI, injuring, you know, things like that. But if he didn't have that, yeah, Swagger would have gotten a huge push as well, as we saw at one point, right? The point is that Cesaro has just this look about him, and he can work really well, and he can do some really good things in the ring, and he isn't a bad, you know, talker. There's so many things that he could do, and it's upsetting that right now he's just in this weird position.
Yeah,
where
I mean,
it's like,
they did everything wrong with Cesaro in terms of,
yeah,
you had a guy who was, after breaking up with the Real Americans, basically, and just becoming a Heyman guy.
Right.
You could have either made him a real heel or accepted the fact that he was going to be a face.
Right.
You completely ignored the fact that this guy was, the crowd was begging for him to be a face, practically
exactly.
begging to worship everything he did. You ignored that, and you tried to make him a heel. Fine. But then, as you do with so many things, you half-assed it. And the crowd just became more apathetic. That's one thing I hate on with Miz a lot, because when he won last night, I think the crowd was very apathetic.
Yeah.
Because they just couldn't find a fuck to give. Because it's like, oh, the Miz is champion. What's the next match? Because, you know, and this isn't
and that's
me trying
why
to mess
think...
with Maddie out there.
No, no, no.
I know Maddie
no, no,
likes
no.
The Miz as a
but
heel.
Here's the thing. But here's the thing. Again, I like him as a heel as well, but I think that's why, and I think she has to agree with this, I hope. That's why you want to see him get his face bashed in. Not, again, not, I know she doesn't want to see him get his face bashed in, but I mean, like, it gives you that reaction.
Oh, but I see your point. Yeah, you're trying to, I mean,
like, you want like, a guy
mid-card
like
heel.
Ziggler.
He's a good sleazy mid-card heel.
Yeah, but
I just, in terms of, like, the Heyman thing with Cesaro,
no, that's a huge issue.
So badly. Right. And so when you force this guy who's basically begging to be a face with a face move, face signature move, you know, the swing being a huge signature move, you basically took that out of his arsenal.
Right.
You know,
and then making him do it less and then finally realizing, let's make him get more aggressive in the ring or something.
It just didn't work. And it just, you have to admit, WWE, that you failed this one, not Cesaro. Because pound for pound, that's the strongest guy in WWE. Very entertaining, charismatic, can do a lot of things. I don't know what you're doing with Cesaro, but I really hope that you figure it out soon. Because you're going to lose a very talented person. The window to make him special, you're going to lose it. And I heard that, you know, in the rumors that part of the reason they slowed down on Cesaro is because they don't want to push Cesaro and Reigns at the same time. That makes sense.
But then push him as
let's just hope
intercontinental
forget.
Something or other. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many ways you could have pushed him that
wasn't
you're hoping
for like a semi-push.
Because, because Reigns got to push straight to the top for some reason, didn't even get, which I will admit, it would look weird for him to hold one of the two lesser belts compared to the main one, in my opinion.
But you're also
right in that
point, because he did get a push straight to the top.
Yeah. So there's no reason why they can't push him straight to the middle. Because right now, Cesaro is not straight to the middle. He's kind of just floating, literally just floating, like the man can fly. But anyway, let's move on to something, because we don't have a lot of time, let's move on to something that's also kind of terrible, in my opinion. The announced team talk, because now we're up to Paige and AJ and Talia, and so I want to talk about, because I know they were trying to, like, speculate it, but I just don't like that, like Bray Wyatt said once. They have the ability to put things into people's heads. And they were saying things like, Paige wasn't ready. Really? Like, really? She wasn't ready? Really? Like, oh, yeah, she must have just realized now that she just wasn't ready for the title. Like, so she beats up half the roster. And then when AJ comes back, just thinks, damn, like, I guess I didn't have a real shot. You beat up half of your roster.
Yeah, and on that note, by the way, the match, I was saying to Maddie, like, I hated up to the point of the match what they were doing with this Paige-AJ thing in terms of their storyline.
Right.
But I really like seeing them together, not only because I think they're both beautiful women, but it's really fun to see, like, what I look at as the future of the women's division there. And then they go to the ring, and on the other side is Emma and Natalya, who are both excellent, you know, parts of the future in their own regard. And it was really cool to see that as a tag match.
Yeah, and also another thing that, because, again, there were things that fluctuated me from going like, oh, yeah, B+, oh, B, oh, B+. So, and the problem with this match was that it was so short, because a match like this, in my opinion, could have gone on for about 15 minutes, and I don't think anyone would have complained had there been, like, this could have main evented Raw. If tag team matches with Cena and Reigns against Orton and Kane, main event Raw, there's no reason why this women's match could not main event Raw with the sheer talent that was in that ring.
And what backs you up on that point, which is not even one that I was going to make, but it's a great one, is that the ending that came after that, wouldn't that be a really cool way to end Raw?
It
just,
would.
You know, everyone's like hot for the AJ Paige win, and then bam, betrayal. She lays out AJ behind the table and skips to the end. Raw logo.
Yeah.
That would be really good. So
it's
good
why
point.
I said this before. And it sounds really awkward because it sounds like a segregation type thing where it's like, because I say, oh, there should be a women's show. And it's like, so you want to just get them away from the other? It's like, no, we have a decent amount of women, I think, to do an hour-long women's show and this, you know. And, well,
yeah,
because,
Total Divas, dude, come on. Go with the program.
Yeah, right, pretty much, right? Oh, darn, I forgot. Yeah, you're right. No, an actual women's wrestling hour-long program like NXT, because there's just so much that we could have on an actual, because I don't understand why it's just, oh, yeah, so the women have, you know, their main title. It's just like, all right, but what about a tag team? Wait, women can do tag teams? You know what I mean? Like,
for me, I wouldn't risk it until Kevin Dunn's gone, of course.
Fair enough. But I just think that, you know, and hey, because the thing is like, yeah, that could be the end of Raw. You know, that could have been invented of Raw.
I'll give you something. They certainly are building up the talent to do something like that.
Yes.
They're certainly, you know, and so with this Paige AJ thing, I mean, I was so happy because finally.
At the end I was, yeah.
Finally,
but the fact that,
did.
You know.
No,
the way,
I mean, the end of the match I was happy because AJ nearly killed her with that Shining Wizard. Whoever taught her the Shining Wizard is on my good side for, like, life.
Whoever taught Michael Cole how to announce the Shining Wizard made me happy. The fact that he didn't say, yeah, she got her with, like, a running knee, you know, where it's like, nope, the Shining Wizard.
Shining Wizard is one of my favorite moves in wrestling. I mean, when Gregory Helms was around as the Hurricane, he started using that Shining Wizard. I was pleased. Believe me, I love the Shining Wizards. So seeing AJ use it and use it so effectively, brutally, it's great. You know, so she's got now a pinning finisher and a submission finisher, making her as, you know, the equivalent of Paige in terms of the Rampage, as I shudder in my sleep, and, you know, the Scorpion Deathlock, which I believe, what do they call that now?
The PTO, the Paige tap out.
No, what do they call the Scorpion Deathlock for Paige?
I don't know what they really call it because they've been flooding it with crappy stuff.
Because I know the Paige Turner is, you know, the.
Yeah, I don't even know, sadly. Something I want to say, though, about Paige, and this made me really happy. The crowd, when Paige broke out of Natalya's pin, the crowd went, oh, which is actually really good because I'm happy that the crowd is realizing, wait a minute, there's actually some good stuff here. And I think Miami wasn't a bad crowd in general, but still,
it
can be hard sometimes.
No, they're always a solid crowd, to be honest with you.
But it can still be hard sometimes, you know, where, you know, for people, because I think people even at home who are just like, oh, God, there's divas. And it's like, you know, one guy in the room is like, no, dude, sit down. Like you look, he knew. He looked at the people in the ring, and he went, no, dude, this is not a piss break. Sit down. And then he got to see a really good, sadly short, but a really good match. It could have lasted a lot longer, but sadly it was short because women. But it still was a very good match, and I think that's what's really cool about it. Where, you know, that's why I argue where, like, you know, you have someone like Eva Marie, and it's like, she just needs to be trained better because right now you can't pull a good match out of her. So a two-minute match is just, you know, you thank God for what you've been given. Only 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. But here it was just, it was so short, you really wanted more. Something that I don't think they were, or some of the people in the back were thinking of. Like, they probably weren't thinking, oh, yeah, the people will want more next week. Just, no, you understand, like, I want to see this match again, like, at WrestleMania. Not like a main event,
calling it the Paige tap out, the PTO?
Yeah, you did. I wasn't kidding.
Oh, my God.
I was being serious.
I know I said Scorpion Deathlock earlier, by the way, but Crosslock. But, like, still, my God,
I've called it the Deathlock before. I think you got that
right. No, because the Deathlock is the sharpshooter, which is, you know, Sting and...
Thank you. I thought I was screwed up again.
No. Okay. But, wow, the PTO. Right. God, I have to get used to that. I'm sorry. That's weird for me.
No.
I got used to the Paige puns.
Remember something. Michael Cole, I believe, said that on Raw. And for me, it sounded like, here's some really cool NXT Paige puns. What do we do for the main roster? Paige tap out. But that's not a pun.
Scorpion Crosswalk sounds a lot better. Anyway,
right,
thank you for that, Maddie. Now,
also... I would like to argue, I would also like to say, they let Paige throw AJ over the table. I don't remember the last time they've let that happen to a diva. Do you remember?
I was so pleased. Because
I don't remember.
That was an old school beatdown. I'm going to throw you into the steel post. I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And then I'm going to do your taunt on the way out.
That was just wonderful.
The only thing that made me more happy is if she actually put her through the table.
Which would have been amazing. Maybe it's just me, but I think that will happen sometime this year.
I hope it does, because Paige has the brute strength to do it. AJ's the type of gal, you know, Paige and AJ can build the chemistry that you can trust to do that spot.
Yeah.
And everybody would lose it.
I would argue, putting
another woman through the table would be so revolutionary for WWE, which is terrible.
Yeah. No, I would argue in the next 2 years or so, we're going to have a ladder match with women in it. And I know it sounds silly to say that, we should be having it now, but I'm saying that I think we will, because I think stuff like this will build them up to, hey, guys, we have talent again, you know? It's not like before, where we really had to get someone to really train the Bellas not to suck. Like, that was their point, where it's just, what's the goal today? To be really good. No, your goal is not to suck. We'll get to really good eventually, you know? Where... with these ladies at NXT right now, it's just, what's the goal today? To be even better than we are right now. And it's like, yep, which is pretty fucking good, by the way. Right? Like, that's their thing. So I feel like in the future of the women's division, we'll be able to have hardcore matches. Maybe not so much blading, but, I mean, we don't do blading so much with men either. Any of the bleeding recently have been mistakes. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but we can still have, you know, a woman-on-woman match, you know, a woman's Money in the Bank, and not even look and think, oh, God, one of them's going to die, because they're all very talented, you know?
Yeah.
There's no one there. Like right now, if we had a woman's, you know, Money in the Bank ladder match, there's about a good maybe four or five I would go, yep, you're good. But then some where it's like, oh, yeah, let's put in Cameron and Naomi, you know, because, you know, the rivalry. It's like, no, Cameron's going to kill them all. Where I would legitimately be nervous that Cameron would manage to kill.
I'm laughing at your exclamation, but I'm also agreeing with you and laughing.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm just so nervous. Where, like, you know, there's certain people. It's like, yeah, you're good. Like, we're gonna put in Eva Marie. She'll malfunction
not
in the ring.
Match or not.
She'll be like one of those robots from RoboCop, where she's like, you must stop in 5 seconds. That is a weapon you are holding. Release the weapon. Why are your hands guns? Firing now. But anyway, we should actually get to some content, shall we? Some kid said the most adorable thing in the world when Paige was screaming after throwing AJ over the table. I don't know if you heard it. Some kid just screamed, "Indoor voices, okay?"
Yeah, I think I heard inside voices, and I was
inside,
dying,
yeah.
Because Paige is just, and by the way, that really helped it, by the way, her screaming, like, I told you this
yes.
was my house. That
yes.
was great, because it's just,
oh, I think she looked at a fan.
Yeah.
I didn't know, I didn't, yeah, she looked at a fan, and I don't know if the fan was liking what she was doing or hating it, but she goes, oh, yeah, goes, oh, yeah, you're going to like this, and then throws AJ into the steel.
Yeah, no, that was great,
I was like,
way,
oh.
Throwing AJ into, throwing her over it, by the way, because AJ being a small...
Yeah.
Figured young lady.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. That really,
yeah.
It just, her skipping on the way out got huge
yes.
cheers.
Oh, yeah.
And
then we move
there,
on.
They were like,
let's move
wow.
on to the
Paige
best point
healing.
Of the night. Quickly, we must go on to the best point of the night. Florida was amazing, wasn't he, when he pushed Heath Slater?
That bothered me. He looked like he was hurt.
I think he sold it. I'm hoping he sold it very well.
I'm
90%
sure he sold it well, because that's what he always does. But
yes. Oh, no, it looked good.
Me.
Where it just looked really good because it looked like a shoving. You think kind of like match where it's just like, you know, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to return the favor. And Flo's like, what? Like, pushes him and just goes. And the way he looked like he was about to undo his watch, I was like, are we going to get a beatdown during the app? Like, watch Heath Slater get his ass kicked during the WWE app.
By Flo Rida.
By Flo Rida. And his posse.
Yeah,
just the
whoever,
other guys.
Whoever, I feel bad because music and being in, like, hip-hop music, rather, pop music,
mm-hmm.
R&B, whatever
right.
genre he may be, I'm not up on that. You know, so whoever sang with him tonight, she may be well-known, and I might sound like an idiot for saying, like, the unannounced lady, you know?
But she
but
was unannounced
just,
because it was Florida. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it was
it.
And
it then,
was just Florida.
And then she just came out, and I was like, what?
No, it was funny. It was like, yeah, Flo Rida's, you know, performing, and she
yeah.
leads off singing.
And I was like,
and
what?
I was like, guys,
I,
do you know what you're
I
doing
don't,
back there?
I don't think that's Flo Rida. I'm
yeah,
fairly
no, and,
certain.
And to be fair, she's a very talented singer, you know, so that being that.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's maybe someone on the, on, you know, indie. I mean, hey,
I
don't
really
know.
I really hope,
she's very
by the way,
important.
Though,
yeah.
the WWE was paid to let him do this and not the other way around.
I'm fairly
because,
certain WWE was paid because...
Yeah, he has a new album coming out, and I know that some people are like, hey, Flo Rida's done this song for WWE before because they use Wild Ones and stuff like that. So
exactly.
You can, you know, but... I really hope they didn't go, hey, we're going to be in Florida. Let's get Flo Rida to sing. Because budget cuts. Like, they can't possibly be that stupid. I know Flo Rida has a new album coming out, and
that's
I was alerted
I
to that. So I assume that's the reason why he was on.
No, that's the thing. It has to be why. There's no other reason. Why would... Because, again, budget cuts... Because here's the thing. Budget cuts are so bad that they're looking at people and thinking, you know... Like, I would be surprised if it's like, I got to use the bathroom. Like, Vince McMahon. Like, Vince, I'm going to use the bathroom. Hey. Toilet paper is a commodity, all right? You know, don't you think that toilet paper... You know, I feel as if that's what they would do. I would love if that actually became segments on Raw. But I feel as if that's what they're actually, like,
I
feeling
feel
that
bad if these are, like, you know, because just real quick, you know, because I
right.
know we've been skipping around on content, but think about this for a second.
Mm, right.
We know confirmed that not only did they cut... What we heard was they cut Ricky the Steamboat, but all the cuts
yes.
we've talked about before, like JTG, Exana,
I heard that
and all
they
those,
rehired him.
I heard that too, but that's not confirmed yet. But
true.
So they may have. But even if they rehire Steamboat, right?
Mm-hmm.
They cut about 10 superstars slash, like, people who work with the WWE, right?
Right, right.
Including the ref. So they cut those people. We're hearing that budget cuts are coming down to them reducing. There's no Raw after show and no SmackDown after show and stuff like that soon enough, right? If not already, I think that's already been done, right?
There is a Raw after show. There is no SmackDown after show. I believe there is a SmackDown pre-show. There are
no Raw pre-show?
I think they've kept everything for Raw because it's Raw, but I'm pretty sure for SmackDown they took off the after show. They may have taken off the pre-show for SmackDown as well, and I can tell you, obviously, as you've noticed, they've taken out all of the post stuff for the pay-per-views.
Right.
Other
That's
than, like, that too. Little five-minute segment. It's like, John, how do you feel? I feel like I won. Good talking, John.
Yeah, so there's that cut. There's apparently talk that the superstars haven't gotten their payments from WrestleMania 30 slash, like, the network pay-per-view stuff.
Right.
There's talk that superstars are going to lose out money in terms of catering because they're not going to pay for catering like they usually do when it comes to other events. And there's talk those budget cuts are going to hurt those who are part of the production crew and those
Which
who set up
before.
The actual set. Right?
Right.
Now, if all of that is true, that sounds like a company that's really losing stuff, isn't it?
Well, and that's why I assume that Flo Rida, you know, because they have that
like
kind of relationship, he has to have been paid to get on there.
Had to have paid
WWE. I mean, think about it. It sounds really shitty to say this, but that we have an iced tea, Twisted Tea.
Twisted Tea.
Or did we have
another
the
thing
Sonic?
That speaks to my point. The iced tea and the
But hear me out, though. What I'm saying is we didn't have Twisted Tea or we didn't have Sonic tonight, did we? The actual, like, segments involving...
I don't think so, did we?
No. We had Flo Rida. That's what I'm saying. They got paid in that way, so they didn't think, like, oh, we have to, like, you know, also get money from this or this. But next week, we're not having Flo Rida. So I'm pretty sure that they're going to make a commercial about whoever the hell they're promoting next. Honestly, I'm gonna be really honest with you. If you saw that, I know you kind of saw bits and pieces of pay-per-view last night. Hopefully you resaw it today. But what matters is this. There was a commercial on there about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, TMNT movie.
Yep.
And I was really nervous because when they cut back from the commercial back to the announce team, I was really concerned. I thought they were either going to be dressed up as Ninja Turtles, they were going to be playing with turtles. They were going to be green. They were going to be CGI'd as three of the four Ninja Turtles. I didn't know what I was expecting. Because, hey, when the Mountain Dew commercials happen, all of a sudden you come back and it's like, hey, look, they're drinking the Dew. So I was really nervous as to what the turtles was going to lead into. Because that's who they are now. That, you know, they're promoting someone with that? All right, how are we going to work it into a storyline?
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if... Actually, I'd be very happy if Sandow comes out as a Ninja Turtle. Not going to lie.
That might happen. You might
I would be okay with that, actually. Moving forward, though. Flo Rida really screwed up, though. I don't know if you noticed. He was like, you might have not noticed because you went to the bathroom. He was like, yeah, WWE fans, you know, and it's like, you idiot, the WWE universe.
That's fine. Then
on the interview, but here's the thing. In the interview, he's like, yeah, you know, I love working with the WWE universe. No, they're the fans. Flo Rida, you love working with the WWE, and you enjoy the people in the universe.
Okay,
who enjoy,
fair
like,
enough.
Yeah,
that's definitely.
That's what I'm saying. Where he said, like, I enjoy working with the WWE universe. He's out there, yeah, WWE fans. It's like, they have a specific, like, I wonder if people in the back, like Kevin Dunn, were, like, frothing at the mouth, like, just having, like, oh, God, Dunn's having a seizure, clear. Yeah, wrestling fans. Oh, God, he's going into cardiac arrest. Someone.
Yeah, people who like wrestling. No, they can only like WWE. God
damn it. As Flo Rida is out there, I don't know what he raps about specifically, but as he's out there, he's just like, yeah, respect women. Dunn is immediately just, he's died now. They're taking him to the hospital as we speak. Respect women and everything about them. Don't objectify them.
I can confirm that's not what he was rapping about. But
I can also confirm. But just as he's saying it to the fans, it's just,
but yeah, putting that segment behind us, because I hate when they do that kind of crap.
I do as well. We talked about how Stephanie getting arrested was... Well, actually, we didn't talk about it completely. It was awesome, damn it. It was nice. It was a nice little bit of...
The length in the beginning was definitely because they had to take down the DJ table.
The what in the beginning, I'm sorry?
Like, the way they camered it in terms of focusing on the announcer's table and all that stuff for so long.
Oh, yes.
They did that because they needed to take down the DJ table, and I thought that
was
funny.
Of course, yes. What I found really interesting, too, is that, and I find, when they were having that argument where Stephanie and, you know, and the two police officers, I really enjoyed that you couldn't hear too much of it. I know it was probably the crowd or the way they were standing in the mics, but it felt as if we were actually, like, bystanders, just like, we were flies on the wall. It felt really nice.
Yeah,
where
it did start off. I like that. I agree with you.
Yeah, which is strange, because most people would be like, but I couldn't get it all. It's because in this homogenized kind of, you know, HD cameras, this only type of camera angle, you know, WWE universe that we're a part of now, it's really nice to feel as if we're not getting, you know, it's like having to really listen in to get the whole story and feel like we're watching an episode of Cops compared to, you know, it's just, you know, oh, no, they're in the ring with her. Why are the
that
cops getting
said,
in the ring?
If you had closed captioning like I do, you did get some of it that you weren't supposed to hear.
I think I got all of it,
sense.
But what did I get? What did I get
it
that I wasn't supposed to hear?
No,
oh,
no,
okay.
Nothing wrong. Like, I
no,
think, like,
you know.
Rather,
yeah.
Okay, let me word that better. You got some of the words before you were supposed to hear them.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, they all made
yeah,
sense.
I got that
like,
too.
It was just basically saying, like, I'm being arrested? What? What's going on? How am I being
oh,
arrested
yeah, of
kind
course.
Of stuff?
But, yeah, no, it was very nice, yes. And, although I have to be honest with you, when they took her away in the black hybrid, that I love that Triple H pointed out, by the way, when they took her away in the black hybrid, before they turned on the police lights, I was like, they aren't police. Hunter, they aren't police. Dean Ambrose hired them. They aren't police. The lights are turned on. Hunter, it's there to fool you, Hunter. It's a hybrid. It's
funny
because
they would do something like that, and that would have been brutal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if that was actually the case. My God,
I'm not
I would have loved
if
that.
If main event, how funny would it be if we just get reports later, Stephanie never made it to the police station?
Do-do-do-do.
I'm not going to lie. I would be extremely excited. You know what I was laughing at? I was going to be like, check the trunk looked open. Check the trunk. Like you see Dean Ambrose closing the trunk behind him. Like, no. Because that was amazing last night at Battleground where I was like, the trunk looks open. The trunk looks, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that was cool. That was also one of the better parts of the night because even though it was basically a Raw, that segment was actually done well. So it's hard to complain. That being said, I mean, yeah, tonight the whole thing was very interesting. Like the whole McMahon actually was basically sent to jail.
And then the Helmsley, you know, because they didn't take each other's names, the Helmsley says, you know, no, my wife is more important. Right? Family is more important. Well, I mean, she's the last to take time to get booked, right?
You know, it was because that's Joey Mercury. You know, Joey basically just offers the whole, like, hey, look, who are you going to decide on? Family comes first. And then he starts thinking about it. But I can't do that. And see, this makes sense because the last time the Authority let someone else run the show, there was a problem. You know, so it makes sense in continuity where he needs to run the show himself.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he and Stephanie
and
need to run it together.
Yeah, and I don't know, I really enjoyed it because it's just, you know, again, also he just has his dedication to the role where it really felt like sometimes I'll admit his acting is a bit subpar, but in certain cases, usually when it involves humor, he's just so good, you know, where you could look at him and be like, Triple H. You know, you might not want to admit this around the office because of how you feel about manliness, but you did theater, didn't you? You know, where it's just, you have really good, there's nothing wrong with doing theater, but again, to them I feel like that's an issue, where I don't really hear about that. You hear about WWE stars going to movies, you know, being in movies, but you never hear theater, right?
I love theater. I'm starting to appreciate Broadway more and more, and I really wish
good.
I did theater.
That's a good thing. I'm happy. But still, I just feel as if, you know, because he's so good with the comedic timing, it felt as if, like, none of that felt like it's like, oh, well, he knew he was going to stay from the beginning. No, it actually felt as if he was like, I actually thought, you know, oh, he's going to leave. He's not even going to announce the guy because that's how they're going to keep it going, right? And then it's just like, wait, no, you're right. I must stay. And it was like, oh, my God. Like, Triple H, because anyone else doing it, like, there's certain people that they would make do that, where, like, John Cena's like, wait a minute, that's right, I shouldn't go see Nikki. It's like, you idiot, you're the, make people think you should treat your, respect, you know, your other respectfully. And it's like, but Triple H, it's like, no, he's a heel. That's what's perfect about it. It's like, he's just a heel. Like, it's good healing. That's a weird sentence. But anyway, also, by the way, we're going to cut off soon. We're still going, though, because Brock Lesnar. If you want to see our main event, tune into the podcast. Tune into the archives of the podcast. Because
if you want to see our main event.
Yes, see, because we're actually if you go into the archives, you can see the full video versions of us, because that's actually a lie. But anyway, we'd like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. Definitely check us out on the Facebook. The Facebook, yeah. Those guys on the radio, if you're searching at the URL.
Hello, Triple H.
I'm going to Vine a Facebook post photo, Instagram, something. Just Mark and I aren't going to watch anymore. So, definitely like us on Facebook, because why the hell not, right? Those guys on the radio, search up those guys. We usually have posts every single day about, what show we're going to do here or there. Tomorrow we should be doing Main Event. What time? Check us out on the Facebook and you'll know. And Main Event looks pretty interesting. Tomorrow we're going to have Rusev versus Sheamus, which I literally called it, which is great. I literally called it because, Rusev versus Sheamus.
So we're about to head off, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. But, thank you guys for listening in.
Yeah,
take care. Have a good day.
We'll be here.
We'll still be here. But you can check us out in about an hour or so. We're here.
We have to be here.
Cool. But, it's just weird because, I'll be honest, Blog Talk Radio is actually very behind. So it actually said, when I said, we're going to be an hour, it cut off for me. But for you, it didn't.
Ah.
So I don't know what's happening here. What matters is that we're in the archives. Ooh.
Yeah, we're in the archives.
I don't know
again.
Why I did that.
Because we've done a lot of talking tonight, and most of it was positive. But
which is very nice.
A little, in terms of the on-screen product tonight was positive.
Of course. Yes.
But...
So Triple H definitely helped make the night better, I would argue. And then, of course, we had, and the reason why we're still going on and we didn't just, jump to Paul Heyman, because there's still a lot of good stuff that happened, crazy stuff that I would like to argue that really can help change up this show a lot more than it has over the last month, right? And something that I would say is, I was trying to make up a fun name for them, but no, we just had Rev Axel versus Big E and Kofi Kingston. Big Kofi. Big Kingston. I don't know. Anyway, what is that?
You're breaking up, Matt. I don't know if it's just me hearing you, but I'm not hearing you too perfectly right now.
Oh, really? I was actually breaking up.
There you go.
Setting.
You're good now.
Oh, I thought you were kidding, because I was trying to make a cool name for Big E.
No,
I'm
being honest with you. You were breaking up a bit there.
All right.
If anyone heard that, I don't know if it was just me. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but Matt's being clear again now.
What's upsetting is that I would usually do it as a joke, so it's kind of upsetting that it happened.
It upsets me too, because I like to make that kind of joke, but you were actually breaking up for a bit.
Anyway,
tag match. By the way, Ryback's blue singlet thing was actually really adorable.
Right.
It looked like something
usually,
you find as like graffiti.
That's funny. That's true. And usually I would say, it sucked because, usually we would get racial because sadly that's what the WWE is. It's very racial when it comes to not really.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I would say that I wasn't going to get racial because the heels needed to win because we have the Usos who won. So heels, faces, that kind of thing. But still, it's still a bit upsetting because, it's just why does it need to be these two guys who are losing? Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then something amazing happened. You know, we got Xavier Woods coming in a suit with glasses, and I know you were making a joke. You were like, PhD Xavier Woods.
He's actually pursuing a PhD, and they've mentioned this on air.
Yes, but honestly, what I think it is, and I'm pretty happy, Nation of Domination, man. Nation of Domination. And I'm not surprised, and I'm pushing for this, if only because it's been posted on the internet a lot. You know, there have been people who have said, yes, this needs to be done a lot. Again, Triple H is a guy who I assume peruses the net. I would argue that he definitely pushed for something like this to happen, or at least someone like him said, we have these African-American fellows. You know, what are we doing with them?
I'm not jumping on the race thing yet. I think it is. I'm sure it is.
Here's the thing. If it had been Dolph Ziggler or something, but it was literally Xavier Woods talking about how they have been, in a sense, oppressed.
No, but see, they didn't... It's one of those things like with the angle last night. They didn't state it directly yet, so I'm not going to assume yet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
If you look at it, these are also guys who were used as, especially Big E, card losers. You know, and they're not handed anything, regardless of the fact that they are black. Now, they can use that, and it would make sense.
Right.
And then we get our Nation of Domination redux, and that's okay. That's pretty cool. That's entertaining.
I'm going to be honest, though. How great would it be? The fact that we've had Owen as a part of the original Nation of Domination, how cool would it be to have these three and then, like, Zack Ryder?
It could happen.
How interesting. I think that would be very – and, again, I think a good stable, especially after breaking up the Shield, just get – you know, you break up one stable, just make another. It's that simple. I think it would really shake things up, and I think that that needs to be – you know, we need to have some interesting stuff happening here because, you know, on the road to SummerSlam, we do have some cool stuff starting, but hey, by the time main event, SmackDown, another Raw, you know, three shows in a week, it's going to get old and tiring. So to have this kind of just be, you know – kind of just thrown up there, whatever it may be, I think it's going to be very interesting for them, you know, and they can have, like, their own little, like, not even little, it's a good stable, you know, it's a good name, that was a strong stable, and I think a lot of good can come from it.
I agree.
Yes, and then, of course, we have Rusev versus Kali, which I have to say, I'm sorry, I was very interested, because it was just really funny, in a sense, where it was just Rusev just, you know, I mean, just you know, it's like, oh, so who's going to be involved in this? Because, you know, Swagger just... And then Kali, just as if Kali doesn't even need to announce himself. Just bam, just Kali.
I was... okay, I always feel bad when they have a Kali segment. I've admitted this before.
Agree.
I just kind of cringe a little because I'm afraid something bad will happen.
Yes.
And so this was weird. I mean, Kali did what he needed to do, and Russo looked strong. I kind of miss Swagger here. I know that's really weird
too.
To say. But I was kind of hoping for, like, a Swagger run-in.
Yeah, no, I miss him, too, if only because, like, I still don't feel as if this face turn is right for him. But what's upsetting is that after they've done something this huge of a face turn, what's next for him? Because now he's the All-American who
that's
feels
the thing.
Huge
at
All-American.
At least after SummerSlam. Swagger needs to go against Rusev or something. But then if Rusev's going to win again, I mean,
I guess I'd rather keep
him off TV.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also, I did enjoy Rusev being paired up with Sheamus, because here's the thing. I know you're not a fan of Rusev, but we have to argue this much. We have to agree to this much. I'll argue that you have, okay, same thing with Bo, where Bo is doing a second runaround with the jobbers now. He needs to get a story to make things interesting. He gets an interesting story. Good. He worked that well. Good. Now you're up to the point where you can work an interesting story and be going for a title, you know? Since Rusev was introduced a bit before Bo, he's just a bit, you know, later down the line, where it's just, okay, so he worked with the jobbers freaking two times around. Then he had a story with Swagger. Then after Swagger, he ends up having a story, you know, now with Sheamus.
He's skipping over the Big E thing twice, by the way. Because Big E's not technically a...
I mean, it's because I you can argue that I also skipped it over with R-Truth and Xavier Woods. But it wasn't a major story. Like, I think where you have, like, I think Swagger is, like, a huge story, I would argue. Where Big E, when did he even, like, I don't think Big E even cut that many, or if any, promos on Rusev. Where you could say that, you could see that, you know, Swagger, there's cutting promos
on each
other. And now you're going to have him with Sheamus, who I assume they might not. They might just say, you know, it's like, you know, the USA, this, he's not even American, we're not either, but we're here to basically kind of shit on your title, where he's trying to promote himself as, you know, this guy. Like, they're probably going to have, I assume, if he's going against the guy, you know, the guy who has the U.S. title, it's not just going to be a, yeah, I'm just going to fight him in a match, whatever, if we lose, whatever. Like, they're not going to lose to him on main event, so this is going to be a thing. Something's going to happen. Or you might have Swagger run in tomorrow. But I feel as if something's going to happen that may lead them towards the title. Because, again, logical progression. And a heel has the Intercontinental one, so you can't really do much with that.
I don't know what's going to happen
here.
I really don't.
Right.
But I still don't like Alexander Rusev.
I know. I understand.
Yeah. I
know.
Want to, if only because I want to appreciate a heel. You know, at this,
right.
I want him to be an appreciable heel. I want him to be a useful heel in my eyes, but he's just not.
Yes, no, I
so
understand.
So it is what it is.
Yes. Speaking of Sheamus, because we were talking about that match, he's a good wrestler, not a good actor, which is very weird because they showed
really?
That promo for him. I didn't like him in the show for a second. I don't know. Something about it didn't seem passionate enough for me, where it's just the role seemed made for him, but he kind of felt like he was just like...
The full
again,
promo you're talking about, right?
Yeah, for what was the show again?
Royal Pain, which is a decent
thank
show.
Thank you. Yes, I don't know something about it just felt as if he was kind of just mildly annoyed.
See, now I feel bad because I rather enjoyed that. I thought he did fine as a guest star role.
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it. I actually do want to watch the show now. Maybe in context, he might even know them. But from the way it was in context, it looked like it's like, wait a minute, is so-and-so home? Like, well, I mean, like, I know that it's his house, but, like, we don't really know him that well. Like, he wouldn't just be liking us just in his pool. Comes out. Why are two in my pool? It's like, well, just get out. You know, it felt as if there should have been like a really kind of, because again,
line was like, get out before I get down there and kick your ass kind of thing.
Something about it didn't even, he didn't have
Seamus
this.
This is not like as a monster. This is a rich Seamus.
I guess,
so there's
yeah.
a bit more class to him than the Seamus we get in wrestling.
I know, he just didn't have, it's just something where I don't know, it felt as if.
I liked it.
I'm not a wrestler. If people were in my pool, you know, I would be furious. That's what I...
When
I
did
know,
you get a pool?
That too. Like, if I had a pool that people were in that weren't me, I would be furious because I got the pool. That's new. I should be in that.
You can't even put yourself in that situation because you don't have a pool, and neither do I.
Look, I'm not Irish, all right? But I'm just going to... Like, yeah, I could put myself in the situation, damn it, all right?
I don't know. I thought he was okay in the role. Because, I mean, he's been brought on as a guest star, and he's not brought on...
Fair
no one's going to be like, wow. Seamus is going to win an Oscar.
Fair enough.
Like, you know,
the
but...
Miz
like,
will. No, the Miz.
I think he seemed like he was going to be promising in the role. So, and I like the show, by the way, so I'm going to
watch it if I can. The show. Yeah, I would like to. But, and of course, you know, moving on, we're wrapping the night up. Ambrose versus Cesaro was...
Conceptually,
was
isn't this awesome?
It was good, but I don't know, something felt off. I don't know what it was, though.
It felt like
really
neither of them
though.
Were really giving it their all.
Yeah.
To me.
I mean,
to me.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know why that would happen. Maybe because, you know, it's kind of funny. I know it's their job to give it their all and no matter what happens, but from right now, it looks like nothing is coming from this. Only right this second, where, you know,
mm-hmm.
Ambrose had to basically get the DQ. None of them really won the match, so it's just, it kind of felt like, you know, it's not like, you know, I don't know, like, it felt weird. Where, like, you had, let's say, Cesaro versus John Cena a while ago, right? One-on-one. And even though Cesaro knew he was going to lose, his goal as a backstage, like, as a person, was prove to the big guys that I can, you know, have a good match with John Cena. And he really did. That was such a good match on a random Raw, you know, before Elimination Chamber. So that's the thing. Where with Ambrose and Cesaro, it didn't feel as if they really had...
Oh, how far might he have fallen?
Yeah, right. I would say that too. Yeah, it doesn't feel as if they had to really prove a lot. They knew how the end was going to happen, and also I would argue they might have been upset, which I even agree to this, that they were kind of pushed back for an amazing promo, an amazing reveal, right? But it just felt weird, where it's like a Royal Rumble situation, where it's like they have to win before the night's over because they have to announce stuff, and it's like, but what if they
yeah.
don't win?
And that being said, like it didn't feel like they gave it at all. I really believe.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's just, all right, Ambrose is nuts. I get that.
Yeah.
But what was his motivation to just do that? It was really weird for me.
Exactly.
Because
like,
I
it felt
there,
like he
like,
just wanted to get rid of the, like, it kind of felt like a Miz chicken shit thing, where it's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, it was kind of weird for me, because I was
yeah.
like, oh,
where?
Wait,
yeah.
I thought you cared more than this, you
yeah.
know, about wins
like,
and losses.
That's
Not
the
that
thing.
You
yeah,
have to, because
really...
I understand you're going nuts as a character.
Yeah.
But it's just,
That's what I think. I don't know. Honestly, like, I think, I'll say this much,
because it was
though.
Also kind of a heelish thing to do, and Ambrose is a face now.
That's the problem. Yeah, they should have, well, I mean, he's the tweener type, so it's okay. But here's the thing, though. They should have had Cesaro be a bit more physical beforehand, like, try to, like, really hurt him, like, bad, and then Ambrose
that
goes,
would make
you know
it
what,
make more
screw
sense.
It. You know what, screw it. Just here's what I want to say, though, is here's the thing. I do admit, when I first saw it, I loved it, if only because here's the thing. When I first saw it, it resonated well with me because it feels as if it's like, you know, he just doesn't even care about winning and losing. He just wants to fight. Like, if
yeah.
Cesaro, like, I think that they try to do a weird thing with Cesaro where it's like, I'm going to be big and strong and throw you around like Triple H would to beat you up. But then for some reason, when it comes down to, okay, then, yeah, I'll fight you back. Whoa. I never wanted a fight. Like, what? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, but then how are you tough and strong? Well, I mean, I never said I was tough and strong. Like, you just said. You know, it was weird. It was a weird kind of situation where, but hey, I mean, whatever. I like that, you know, Ambrose has this situation of it's just like, doesn't matter how, like, even though the bell rang, he was there. Like, come on. Like, why are you leaving? Like, I have a chair. You can get one, too. Let's just chair fight. Whatever.
Yeah, he did throw two in the ring, which I thought was funny, because in my head was like, are you setting up for a concerto, or are you giving him a fighting chance?
Yeah, that's what I like about Dean, where you're sitting there like, wait, what's actually happening here? You know,
yeah,
it's
like,
a nice...
thing. At the same time, enjoyable segment, and for the most part, solid match, not great. You know, they can do great, but they didn't do great. I don't know. They did know what they were followed up by.
Yeah.
So maybe there was a lack of an effort a bit tonight.
And
but
it sucks
wasn't
because,
the best possible match between those two.
And it sucks because, you know, I don't want to, like, I don't know. We don't know them, and we don't want to say that in, like, a mean kind of way. We don't say it in a mean way. We say it in a way where there's possibly a good chance that people were even in the back telling them, don't give it your all. Because think about it. There are a lot of people on this roster who are really, really good. You know, like, yeah, you're going to have your Eva Marie's, right? But there are people who are so good that if you told them to give it their all every night, they would die.
CM
literally.
Why he started taking it easy for a bit, I think, as a face, because he knew his face character wasn't going anywhere. And it was just a matter of, do I put my body on the line every night like I did as a heel?
Exactly.
Where I know it's just not going
anywhere. Where he'd be fighting John Cena, and you're like, oh, yeah, he might be doing the elbow or something. Nope, just jumps right off and goes, I'm dying! You know, where it's just, I don't remember him doing that as a face so much. You know, he really, like, I will admit, yeah, like, I saw some match, like, I remember I know it was a SmackDown, but still, I saw a match with him and Dean Ambrose around the time when they were, you know, that whole Shield versus Punk thing, and they were fighting, and it didn't really kind of feel as if they were giving it their all. I felt bored. And that's upsetting because it's CM Punk and it's Dean Ambrose. Now that you look at them both separately and together, you're like, oh, well, this should be really, really good. But, yeah, I mean, they're just told. I'm fairly certain that they're told, hey, you know, like, you really should calm it down for the night.
I don't know if I would agree with you, but that's a scary thought to me.
What, to calm it down?
Yeah, like, I feel like it's also a scary thing in terms of when you use that card. You know, and then you have some guys that just don't know how to turn it down. So let's say, like, you have a guy like Ambrose and a guy like Cesaro, where now both of them look bad because, you know, let's say Ambrose doesn't know how to, like, turn it down a notch.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, I can argue that, yeah, some people might not understand what a notch is. So it's like, actually, Ambrose, that was bad. It's like, you told me to, okay, turn it down less. Like, don't turn it down as much.
Further.
Yeah. Well, not further. I don't think they looked at this match tonight and they thought these two clearly overexerted themselves. I don't think that happened.
No, I don't think they did. But also, I mean, I don't know. There was a lot going on this Raw, and thus they didn't need it to be a 5-star match. So they get a pass for that.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, we lead up, as we're closing down, the segment of the night, obviously, where we knew it was coming, we knew it was happening, obviously nothing changed. I was going to laugh if he was going to bring up, like, Cesaro or Big E or someone who just clearly was awkward being there, you know, but no, of course he brought up Brock Lesnar. And, I mean, it was great. And then Heyman said everything that he had to say, and he said it in such a way that, you know, it's brilliant. I mean, he literally, we mentioned Bray Wyatt writes poetry, well, you know, Paul Heyman writes essays.
Yeah, there were a lot of great things in this promo. You know, getting just right off the bat, the malpracticing doctor of Thuganomics, the making fun of the Cena's age base of, like, his fans.
Yeah.
Now, and also the whole thing at the end, like the Pledge of Allegiance thing to Brock over Cena. That was really good. So there were a lot of great things.
Oh,
about this promo.
That's how you know, right? That's how you know that this was planned for so long in advance.
Yeah.
Because Heyman was able to just plan this for so long.
And here's my thing, though, and I don't even know if any of, like, the people who listen are actually going to hear this, because we're in the archives. Not everyone listens to us here. But
I hope so, because it would be very I think they should at least jump to it, because, I mean, we didn't finish with the main event, right? But anyway,
yeah, like,
what you're
saying? There is a, like, weird thing here for me. Like, I like Brock Lesnar, as a fan. I like Brock Lesnar. I like his toughness. I don't like he broke the streak, but that's a whole other story. You know, I mean, I like when Brock Lesnar's here. I like when he beats up John Cena. Cool things. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, in storyline, it's like this lesser of two evil things, where, like, John Cena has not harmed your family. He hasn't broken your bodily limbs. You know, and Brock is dangerous. He's booked as dangerous. Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a guy who has broken your arm as Triple H, broken mm-hmm. your family member's arm, because he technically, did he attack Vince? I don't know if I'm going crazy. I think he attacked Vince.
I'm not too sure, sadly.
But, or he attacked Sean. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He attacked
right,
Sean.
Right, right, right.
So he attacks Sean. He breaks your best friend's arm.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks your arm in storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, he's threatened your family. He's threatened you.
Right, right.
This is not he's a bit of a loose cannon. And I know
right.
that it's sort of like you can play it off as, like, you really want Cena to not have the title. But
right.
there is just something weird, and I hope they clarify it, about the fact that Triple H is freaking hiring Brock Lesnar to attack John Cena when Brock could just as easily turn on Triple H.
He could, but I feel as if, okay, you know, it's weird because it's like he can easily turn on Triple H, but I think in a way where, okay, here's the thing. I think if he works with Paul, right, if he works with Paul, Triple H works with Paul very well, they can come to understandings and agreements and kind of, it's all about the money, it's all about this and this, is, you know, but at the same time, Triple H can pay out, at least in KFAP they can pay out, you know.
Yeah.
It can work, I think, where it's, again, it's a lesser of two evils, but when your evil is like the guy who's just like, oh, I won't do anything you say, where Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, if they're just like, oh, hey, you know, would you like to be on the cover of the video game? Yeah, like, oh, hey, so how about you beat up this guy for us? Well, of course we would. I mean, why does Brock Lesnar not want to destroy?
I'll give you that much in terms of Brock, in as much as he is destructive and has a damaging past.
Yes.
He is likely more to be controlled by the authority than John right now. Because John's just like,
exactly.
No. And Brock, via Paul, is like, sure, I'll beat up your Cena.
Yeah, exactly. Where Roman Reigns is also a loose cannon, but because of how he's been, you know, how he's been treated by the authority, is a loose cannon, but will also just, you know, will always release just against the authority. Where it could be anyone. Like, the authority can be like, you know what? We love hugging mothers. You're like hugging our moms. Like, happy Mother's Day. And Roman Reigns is like, nope, Spears his own mom. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
the point where he's just been so hurt by the authority that whatever they say red, he'll say blue. You know, it's that simple. Where, again, the right kind of money, the fact that he's even put in a WWE World Heavyweight Championship match has made possibly both Brock and Heyman completely complacent. Where yes, I can argue, yes, you know, I assume they really are going to mention at least somewhat like, oh, well, you know, this is crazy. Like, Brock Lesnar has done so much to Triple H. And it's like, but you got to understand, and probably someone like, you know, JBL, like, but you got to understand, Michael, you know, with a beast like Brock, you know, you can definitely, if you need to take down Cena, you go for the beast, you know, and it's true. Where it's just, if you need to do that,
like, if you
want to
talk about, like, if you, and not you specifically, but if they mention, like, Brock is more
right.
like a mercenary,
right.
then that makes sense,
that
you know,
too,
and I
yeah.
can accept that. There are certain
right.
things I can accept. I just feel like until they clarify it, it's
yes.
a little bit weird for me, because I'm overtaken by the fact that I really want to see Brock kick Cena's ass.
Also,
but
I want to say
that storyline-wise, it's not the best.
I want to say something and clarify this for me here, because I wasn't around for Brock, Cena, but I heard things. Didn't Cena get the final win?
Brock didn't get any wins.
Yeah, okay. That, you could even use that, where it's just, you can even just have Triple H say, hey, you know, we both have our things, but John Cena beat you. John Cena beat the Beast. And John Cena has beaten me on multiple occasions. We're here to beat up John Cena, okay? Okay. Like, it's that simple, where they both really do have a common enemy. And I don't think they'll skip over that, because if they do, it's really silly. Where it's like, oh, well, Brock Lesnar has never been defeated by John Cena. The network! Oh, and Triple H never even met Brock Lesnar either. The network! So I don't think they're going to actually skip over. I mean, yeah, I know. They think, oh, well, every wrestling fan has, you know, selective memory, has shitty memory. But the network,
yeah, they have
and the
to
fact
mention
that they were big.
You know,
and Brock Lesnar is big. Like, Brock Lesnar isn't like, I hate to say this, but like, you know, oh, Big E and Kofi Kingston, you know, actually tag teamed once in 2013. Like, no one's going to remember from 2012, sadly. A random Raw SmackDown.
I see what you're saying. Like, Lesnar's a big freaking thing. So when he comes back, you remember what Lesnar did.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know, I get that. And I think Cena's going to be the one, just based on his promo style, bring up the fact that he's beaten Brock. Where it's like, I've beaten you. Yeah, it's like, I can beat you again, and then Brock will just beat him up. And that'll be his promo.
Yeah. No, just, oh my God, just just all of a sudden, just you know, like Heyman's just there. All of a sudden, it's just like, I beat your boy once, I beat your boy twice. Yeah, where is he? I'll beat him again. Brock Lesnar comes out with, like, John Cena's dad bloody in his mouth.
In his mouth? Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, yes.
I just pictured that. Just like, just, ding dong, the bitch is dead. What?
No, literally, no. Brock just walks up to Heyman, just puts the dad down right in front of Heyman's feet, looks up at Heyman. Heyman pats him on the head. You did good.
Did good. That'll do, pig. That'll
yeah.
do. No.
John Cena doesn't know what to do. He's literally in the ring sobbing uncontrollably. Like, I'm talking about, like, he's crying. He pooped himself. It's really bad, right? They cut to him about an hour later, you know, like, when he's in the back, and Renee's like, so how do you feel? He's like, you know, an hour ago, I was feeling really bad. But, I mean, now I'm okay. Because, you know what, even though he did that to my dad, you know, I'm going to fight him on Sunday. I'm going to get vengeance on my dad, and it's okay. Because, you know what, the champ is here.
You did just say, I'm going to get vengeance on my dad, which cracked me up.
The Silver Dome, brother. Yeah, no.
I'm going to get vengeance on my dad. What? This is a heel turn. My dad set himself up. I'm tired of this shit. You have a championship match with Brock Lesnar. I am tired of my father right now. That's the issue.
John
Why
Cena.
Why do you keep showing up
John
to these
Cena.
Things, Dad?
John
I only ask you as a courtesy. You know what happens every time you show up, and you insist
John,
on being in the front row.
I really hope people can listen to the archives. John Cena does an FU on his own dead father, and then people can stand up and go, so they were able to do something worse than the Katie Vick thing.
I like that our archive right now is basically like, if you thought the first half of our show was offensive,
this is After Hours, where everything is just really bad and tasteless. Dead babies and more. But anyway,
I like
seriously, we have
and more. I like and more.
But anyway, we're gonna have to really cut this.
Yeah,
this off. But again, I mean, we really enjoyed what we saw tonight. Definitely a B plus to A level Raw, which is good because last week's was like a C level, which is a huge problem when it's going into a pay per view. But again, we mentioned this earlier, and I'll say it again before we wrap up. It's the worst. I think the best things for them are when they're spontaneous and they don't know what's going on, because it's a 50-50 shot for it being really, really good or really, really bad, right?
And since
when they
pretty bad normally, I think their logic that 50-50 is usually pretty accurate.
That's what I'm saying. But what I think the issue is that when they plan things so much, because again, we saw Payback and we didn't like Payback. They had this planned out apparently very well because they knew exactly this was a stepping stone to SummerSlam. That's a huge issue because they knew what was going to happen. And I don't think that they planned it to be so super duper, cool and this and that, because they knew where they were going. And that's a huge problem, I think.
Yeah,
because
well,
they knew
still got a few weeks until SummerSlam, and now it's going to become interesting because, well, just frankly, now what? I mean, do you keep up this quality until SummerSlam? Because that would be great.
It would be, I mean, I think they will. I mean, yes, some SmackDowns may be a bit old, or main event, but I think the Raws will keep up this quality because, yeah, I think we do have some time, but I do think this is going to work very well for Raw, I would argue. And, but yeah, also, I believe, before we go, I believe Randy Orton lost his Money in the Bank title shot when Roman Reigns came in and beat him up. I don't know if the bell rang yet, but I'm fairly certain he's actually, what if they say that? Randy, you've used up your title shot, because when you came to the ring, Roman
it's
Reigns
funny,
beat you up.
It's funny, you called that a Money in the Bank title shot?
Yes.
And I just sat there like, when did he get the briefcase?
Yeah, no, that's basically what it is. It's like, I'm sorry, Randy, you've lost your chance to be there. You walked to the ring, and then you were...
You walked to the ring. Triple H was there. That's what happened last time, remember?
Yeah.
He's
I would
wearing different clothes.
Here's the thing.
Triple H
here's
rips
the thing.
Off his shirt to reveal a referee's outfit.
Yes! It's exactly what happened before.
Not again! Not this way, JBL!
No, just, yeah, but Daniel Bryan isn't here. Turns around, the camera pans on Lesnar with a fake beard. What's going to happen?
Anniversary of SummerSlam.
No, yeah, no. Randy Orton's like, what's happening here? Triple H is like, I'm righting a wrong. He pedigrees Randy Orton. Daniel Lesnar wins the title.
His theme song is a remix of, like, Ride of the Valkyries and Brock Lesnar's theme song. Just like, it would be actually relatively amusing.
Da-na-na-na-na. But anyway, but seriously, though.
My half-client, half-ghost, Brock Bryan.
Oh, my God.
Brock
but seriously,
Bryan
though.
Sounds like a porn star. Sounds like we just leave from Scott Pilgrim. That's the second time tonight.
It's like Ted Mosby. But anyway, seriously, though, yeah, I mean, you know, it would be weird to have a Randy Orton face turn, but I do think that I would like Randy Orton to use his
well, not
contract
that way.
But I would
I mean,
no, so I mean in general.
Really,
I mean in general,
you're not
it'd be weird to have a,
to like that specific.
No, in general, it'd be weird to have a face turn. But I would like to say that I would just, as two heels going at it, I really would enjoy, you know, Randy Orton just saying, look, you know, because even, I mean, even though it might be like, well, he's a face because he said to Triple H, no matter what you say, I want my title shot, I'm going to cash in on Lesnar. Still, though, like, you know how Triple H has said before, whatever, you two, look, cause here's the thing, Triple H has said before, when it's come to, like, the Shield and the Wyatts when they were both a thing, just, you know what, whatever, you guys want to fight, just fight, whatever, you know?
Right.
It's still going to, you know, you're still going to be working for me at the end anyway, right? So I would arguably want Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar to have a very good match as heels, and for Triple H to say, you want to fight? You want to waste your time on Lesnar? Fine. He's still with the authority anyway, so you want to fight? Fine. No, you know, no skin off my back, like nothing, like I would hate for it to be like, now Randy Orton's a huge face because now we have a huge heel, and we can't have a few heels, so now we need to have a huge face. It's like, but Daniel Bryan's coming back. That's right, make Randy Orton a heel again. Like, there's no need to do that. You know, you can keep him
agree.
A heel. And it would be a really nice match where they're both working this heel kind of, you know, match. Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, and here we are. We're at the end. We went a bit over, but I mean a bit over. But, hey, you know, hopefully listening to us in the archives right
now. It's only 3 o'clock.
Yeah, right? We don't really do this often. We usually go maybe a couple minutes over, but we had a lot to talk about tonight. I thought that my notes would mean that we'd have less to talk about because they're less than they usually are, but somehow we just talked about so much really good, interesting stuff that it actually...
We veer off a lot. It happens. Good
but actual
I'd
interesting
argue.
Stuff. I mean, it's actual interesting stuff, I would say. You know, very rarely would we, you know, we talked about sandwiches, but yeah, they related to the WWE pay scale. So it was nothing crazy, I would say. You know, it was still related to WWE. I mean, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, so thank you guys for listening to those guys. You know, definitely like us on Facebook, as I said before. Those guys on the radio, we post about our shows daily. Sometimes we'll have shows on WWE. Sometimes we'll be doing Dragon Ball Z shows. Sometimes we'll be doing comic book shows. Not all of them are with Satish Ram, but hey, sometimes we even do weekly, you know, kind of like rumor roundup stuff. We haven't been able to do it for a while, but, you know, schedules and stuff like that. But we should be having one this week as well. How will you find out about these, you know, specific times or whatever? Like our Facebook. You want to email us, you know, kind of like just say, hey, we like what you're doing. Hey, we hate what you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. Or you want to, you know, promote yourself on our show. Or you want to, you know, say, oh, you should probably do this. We would like it if you did a show based on this. Those guys on the radio at gmail.com. You know, also, you said that we have a Twitter now.
Yes, we do. Those guys radio. Those guys radio. Random note, by the way, BTR seems to not like us in the archives because
right.
as I try to access the studio on my phone to play us out,
right.
it says, here's the time until your next show, because obviously you finished your last one.
That is very interesting.
It hates me. It thinks we're done. It's kind of like showing us the door. It's like at the award
yeah.
shows when somebody's making a speech and they start playing the music in the speech.
Oh,
we're just like, all right, wrap it up.
Basically.
BTR just, like, gave me that kind of treatment.
It's okay. It's okay. We're going.
No,
to.
It's not. BTR, we're not. This is not. That's unprofessional.
Actually, that is quite unprofessional, I would argue. But, hey, we're going soon anyway. So it's okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry. But, yeah, so again, you know, thank you guys for listening to those guys. And, yeah, and a large amount of limes, I would argue.
It's a shame.